number in service. Please enter your access code.
October 1st, Bitterwig.
To join the conference as the host, press star. Otherwise, press please enter your host password followed by the pound sign. Please enter the security code followed by the pound sign. You entered 6 4 6 4 1 2 2. To accept, press 1. Otherwise, at the tone, please speak your name.
Portland.
There are 1 participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as the host. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
Great, that is.
So you get the notes done before the
meeting.
That's
right. This is not even help. This
great.
Is.
Sure, there will be
out. In a sense, yeah. It is, I guess. Yeah. Yes, sir. This is fair. Okay, well, then I can read my proposal.
Pass these around to folks that need them.
You need one?
Nope.
No, sir. Good.
Slide the thing open. No, that little slide thing right on top in front of the lens. Right there.
Thanks. Hello.
Hey, Sean, this is Rich.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hello, who just called in?
This is Ed Meyer.
Hey, Ed.
Howdy.
You think Lawrence will be here?
It's not 20 after. Come on.
When it's appropriate.
It's his building. It's 9:20.
LST.
Ed, where are you? Can I call you after this meeting? It's Lori.
He's at his desk.
Well, who was that?
It's Lori. She wants to call you after the meeting.
Away from
are you going to be around?
I'm in my office.
Projector.
Can I have a Mud Mountain question?
Okay.
I'm going to clip that to your shirt or something.
Well, I'm still trying to get over a really, really bad cold.
Do you travel too much?
But you're trying to get over the cycle bus.
That would follow them. Well, did they do it as I would do?
4-0.
4-0? Really?
Wow. Play Wisconsin this weekend.
Uh-oh. 4-1.
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
They only got 7. Vegas only has 7 points on.
Yes.
Is that can't remember that.
The Badger. And that's where my wife is, Wisconsin.
Did she buy anything yet?
That's where I'm headed. Probably next.
How many houses did she get from?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you
got two. They built 2 houses there, and she was looking at one of them. And the guy came out and asked her what she was doing. She said, oh, my dad built this house. So I don't think I'll sell it.
No, it's yours.
Guess I'm just going there. It's cool.
Heard they got a lot of birds there.
Yeah. I'm trying to get rid of
passing through. Yeah. Really rare one, too.
Got a coupon for a moving van. Expires at the weekend.
I can take a hand. I could leave. Yeah, well, you know, things have changed. I used to call him my shadow. It's the other way around now. I'm just shadowing him.
Job shadowing?
Yep, it's come to that time.
You and her here 10 years.
He's the lead guy and everything.
Yeah. Sure is there.
Is that Ronville?
Yeah.
A nice harbor.
No, I'm learning my lesson. You're stepping down.
Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome. That's what Poogie said.
I was just going to say that.
Until he came back.
What are you waiting on?
Lors.
I was waiting for
Lors. Don't wait.
He's at least 20. He'll be gone before you get to
the right. Yeah.
I think I missed someone who called in on the phone.
Yeah, this is Natalie.
Hey, Natalie.
And just so you know, Sean, I have a weekly coordination meeting at 9:30. I'm going to have to jump off and then jump back on again.
Okay.
For you? Oh, wow, thanks very much.
You're welcome. I got a chair for you.
So for the benefit of the folks on the phone, let's go around and introduce ourselves. This is Sean Tackley from Portland District.
Carrie Gibbons, Portland District.
Eric Van Dyke, Oregon.
Randy Absalon, NOAA Fisheries.
Sean Rarison, Portland District.
And George Cugino, Portland District.
Brown Melton, Portland District.
Trevor Conner, NOAA Fisheries.
Christine Peterson, BPA.
Scott Donahue, BPA.
Scott Benton, BPA.
Ryan Bissell, Bonneville.
Harry Fredericks, NOAA.
Brad Eppard, Portland District.
Aaron Heroes in Bill John Day Court.
Mike Trasky, Portland District.
Sarah Knowles, Portland District. Carrie Matthew, Portland District.
Karina Popescu, Portland District.
Scott Fielding, Portland District.
Karen Coon, Portland District.
Lori Ebner, Portland District.
Thanks. So I figure we just get started, and you know, when Tom gets here, he gets here. But usually kick off things with just going through the action items from the last meeting. I guess I'd ask that if this is your project, just kind of if you want to reiterate the status update or if anything has changed. The first one was the Bonneville Spillway. Do you have any kind of updates to this, Lori?
What's up there is correct. It's also item number 7 on the agenda.
Okay. John Day North Ladder, AWS pumps. Natalie, do you have any updates on that?
Yeah, well, we still don't have the 100% design yet. We expect that we'll have it by December. But what we're kind of shooting for is to have pump 4 fixed by the freshet. We would have pump 4 and pump 3 fixed. We would have all the pumps available. We would wait to do any more work until after July of 26. That's roughly what we're talking about, but I don't have it in writing yet.
Okay. Questions?
That's really my update, too.
I figured that was.
So I don't, when it comes to my time slot, nothing more I can tell you.
Okay.
You're good.
You're just that good. Okay. B2 trash rake.
What is up there is still accurate. As far as I'm aware, it's been functioning well. Brian, do you have anything to add?
Not really.
You know, it'll be updated and that pump is needed.
So functioning well means they're not having to shut the units down and flood debris anymore?
I think there was two occurrences one week, which is a pretty vast improvement.
Yeah. Of course, so this year wasn't exactly a high debris year either.
Right. Okay.
We'll see next year, maybe. Yeah, that's always bad.
It'll burn last year.
What's that?
It's all the grass. It'll burn last year.
Underwater grass.
I'm not sure.
That would
happen.
It's going to dry the air.
We're done. Yeah.
We got bigger problems.
We just as well go.
TSB, sounds like you guys had a trip on the 21st of September.
I think that went well. Very.
It went. Yep.
Well, we're looking at a new cam curve. The cam curve worked the way it was supposed to.
Actually, we're looking at the cam curve, I hope. Not a new one, but the cam curve.
The right one.
And it, we have data. So we can give an update if you want.
It's an agenda item.
It is an agenda item, yeah.
It's a little bit more down.
Yeah.
But the upshot is
that yeah, the trip went well. Yeah, we saw what we intended to see. Yep, went through the data pretty well.
This next one is the B1 sluiceway. There was a question about the elevation of the gate crest, and this isn't one I've been really following, so you probably are more familiar with it, Gary.
Elevation of the gate crest. Mm-hmm. It's actually 1A, 1B, elevation 68 and 70. 1A is at 768, right? Is that the thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's not really an elevation thing.
Right. It was just an informational question.
So the question was more whether or not the capacity of the sluiceway would accept the flow, and it has. As far as I know, we're still running 68 feet at one, 70 at the other.
Right.
So, hallelujah.
You got something right?
Once in a while, do I think?
Once in a while. Blind squirrel.
John Day, pit detection.
Big squirrel, whatever.
Blind squirrel finds a nut.
As noted here, I don't know who got a chance to look through these notes already, so I'm going to repeat everything. But just for folks' awareness, it is in the president's budget for 16. We don't have a PDT kicked off yet. I think our goal is going to be to keep the scope as limited as possible for that PDT, mainly kind of design review and making sure that we're not screwing things up by, you know, monkeying with the weirs and whatnot. So expect that to be kicked off in this first quarter. Do you have anything else?
I know the charter has been approved, but I haven't heard if a PM has been assigned. And maybe one has, I just haven't heard. Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I heard someone's name floated.
I heard someone's name floated too, but I haven't heard if it's official or not.
All right.
It would be good to get a scoping meeting with regional folks together.
Yeah, it would be good. Do you have anything to add to that too? Because I know part of this, if it did go forward, these.
We'd have to find the money to build the components. So we need to know when it's a go.
Right.
So Happy New Year.
Yeah. Bonneville Performance Standard meeting. There were a couple of meetings that occurred, so that's kind of more of an SRWG item for discussion. So launching into B2 FGE, unless anyone has any other questions.
B2 FGE is a project that we've been working on for some time. I think everybody's aware of that. We've tested a couple of prototypes, pretty good results. We're comfortable with the results, comfortable with the performance of those prototypes. We've done some fluid velocity measurements out there for a few years now to get a better understanding of the dynamics that are taking place out on the river. Conducted a couple of years of bio testing, all that to say that we're moving forward, adjusting our schedule, our construction schedule. We're looking to get a contract awarded sometime late next spring. We kind of want to give you a heads up of why folks here are aware. We put together a little presentation here that's not going to speak to the particulars and details. But the upshot is we're moving ahead, and I think that we're going to get this thing completed, I want to say by the end of 17 meeting. But we can get the details here and then jump.
Yeah, the goal of this program was to improve the gate rail environment for fish that are going through the juvenile bypass system, but there's also project passage advantages for fish passage, including opening up the operation range, allows a better turbine geometry for turbine pass fish. We just had that trip to Erdick, and we have some data now that shows that the operating, at the higher end of the 1% is better with that bottle work. And pulling more flow to B2 also provides benefits for pulling more juvenile fish towards Powerhouse 2, where we have our highest survival routes, the B2 corner collector and the juvenile bypass system are the two highest survival routes at Bonneville. It's also good for downstream migrating steelhead kelts to attract them to the corner collector and any downstream migrating adult salmon. More flow through Powerhouse 2 also provides benefits for adult passage, in that pulling adults to B2 is a route that's preferred to the Bradford Island ladder exit. Less fall back through B2, especially when spill is over 100K. So, yes, what we'll do is we'll talk about the hydraulic results from the work that was done this spring and the biological testing. And just briefly, if you recall, we had biological testing occur in April, and we were evaluating a modified 15A slot against an unmodified 14A slot. Unit 15 was run at the upper end of the 1%, and unit 14 in the middle 1% range. In May, we evaluated a C slot, and that was a modified C slot in unit 15, operated at the upper 1% against 14A, modified in the middle 1%. And then following the biological evaluation, we had some hydraulic measurements taken in the gate well, and with the modified unit. And the modified unit...
Hey, yeah, I had Martin.
Excuse me?
They put Martin through the unit.
The modifications to unit 15 included a 50% blockage plate installed at elevation 31. Behind the VBS and between the hydraulic headgate. In the B slot, there's a 25% plate installed, blockage plate to reduce flow in the gate well was the goal to improve gate well hydraulics. And in the C slot, we did not have a plate. All slots had VBS modification to reduce the hot spots. And I think with that, I'll just hand it over to Lori.
Okay. When we did this, the recommendation that we wanted to test was basically plates in the A and B slot. The assumption was we didn't need a plate in C, and we did modify the things. Not in the presentation, but in your handouts, apologize guys, on the phone. What got us into this situation was in the sheet of paper that's been handed out that's in the middle of the slides, in the hard copies, is a blast. Okay, go to the next slide, though.
What's your page number, Lord?
Yeah. So basically, you should have a piece of paper that looks like it says figure 1, and it should have figure 3.5. The one on the screen, and so is this a live meeting? Anyway, no. The one on the screen is the high flow. So it's 18K, that's unit A, that's Bay A. And this was the flow conditions as measured in the field. The one that's not in this package is the mid flow, which is about 15K. So we're looking at two conditions. The assumption that we had starting this project was the mid flow, the 15K was acceptable, and the 18K was unacceptable. Next slide. So we did some CFD results to try to did some CFD modeling to try to get a better handle of what we were observing hydraulically from the velocities. That was an exercise for us in order to how to get the flow representation correct through the VBS. So we did a 15 and 18. Next slide. Then we wanted to compare different block plate design, 25% blockage and 50% blockage. And this is where we decided we needed the 50% in the A slot, and it looked acceptable to go with 25% plate in the B slot and no plate in the C slot. Next slide. And this is just a close-up of those results. So it's 18 without slot. So we got the 15K, which is what we're trying to achieve. You have the 18K with no modifications made. And then you have a 50% plate in the far right. Next slide. And then we took field measurements this year. So we have 14A baseline, which is on the left. So that's a non-modified unit with 15A, which is a modified unit. So it has the 50% blockage plate and the modified VBS. Next slide. So now what you're looking at is 15C and 13C. So the difference between these two tests is in 15C we have a modified VBS. So what you're missing is you see a little bit of a hot spot up where towards the top around elevation 54 on the image on the left, and you don't see that in the image on the right. And that's just because we put a porosity plate on those upper paneling, which they were open before. And then if you go to the next slide, this is all units in 15 that have been modified. So it's a 50% plate in the A slot, a 25% plate in the B slot, no plate in the C slot, modified VBS across the board. And that is our recommendation hydraulically as to the configuration that we would recommend.
So Lori, you said in the A slot there's a 50%?
The steel plate.
B is 25% and C is nothing.
Correct.
VBS, modified VBS.
In all three bays have the modified VBS. And it's the same VBS.
What does it take to modify a VBS?
We get the plate with new hole porosity plates, and the project is not
the configuration of the holes.
Operationally.
Yeah. Somebody has to take them out.
No. They have to be taken out, and they have to be, the back backing has to come off so the new porosity plates can be put on. I believe that's all true.
But how long does it take to convert a unit?
It's yet to be worked out. We're meeting with folks out there Monday. Because it's just going to take a heck of a lot of coordination. That's basically the rebar unit. You have to go in there and basically map out where the rebar is so that you can jack in the rebar. You have a lot of activity that time of year, so the short answer to your question is we don't know yet, so we can come back and let you guys know. Lay out a schedule and then kind of
what's project staff that's probably going to do the work?
Again, not sure. I think they're on board to do the frosting plates, but the other ones, it goes hand in hand. That hasn't worked.
So you've got a meeting coming up. Is it fair to say that you would have a schedule lined up for the next meeting, or is that ambitious?
It's both ambitious, but I think we can provide semblance of the schedule for us.
Okay.
I think we've got a schedule now that we're working from that's the soft schedule. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's correct. And the biggest factor in the time it takes to install the plates or the fabrication of the plate. So the challenges are to map the rebar out and then drill the holes in the plates. But between mapping out the rebar and then installing the plate, it doesn't take that long. It took about 2 weeks to fabricate the plate afterwards, but the unit needs to be out during that time in winter. So the challenge is to understand what's the most effective, efficient way to coincide with existing outages or do unplanned outages. So that's why we're meeting on Monday to have a better understanding of that.
Gotcha.
So to answer your question, the next better way we should have a better idea, but it's not going to get butt done until we actually have a contact that's worthy.
Right.
That's the idea. That's what we're looking to do.
So basically 2 years, start next year.
What we want to start as quickly as we possibly can.
And 16, now is the earliest possible.
If I recall that schedule that we were looking at, we were looking to do three. If things work out the way they worked out on paper, we should be completed before we started the water work period.
Ten seventeen. Really?
Well, there's a T12 outage at B2. I think it's like September, roughly mid-September towards the end of November. We would potentially be able to get 16, 17, 18 during that time.
So you get it done a year then.
Yeah, and if, and since Washington Shore would be out that winter maintenance period, the project indicated, for discussion on Monday, we're going to talk about the winter maintenance period and doing 11-12-13.
So we're going to delay the performance test a year?
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
No.
It would. Or maybe indefinitely.
Which change isn't going to affect survival?
It could.
It could.
It would.
Guidance efficiency.
It could change up to you.
Yeah, but so few fish go through there, it's not going to make a difference.
You get to know. Fair call.
You guys just stumbled over yourselves for this one.
Well, let's talk about that, later in the agenda here, but let's talk about the biological results testing this year. And as I mentioned, during April, we put Spring Creek National Fish Hatchery sub-yearling Chinook in 15A with a modification operated at the upper end of the 1%. 14A unmodified operated at the middle 1%. That's in table one. In table two, we have the 15C evaluation operating at 1% versus the 14A. But let's talk about table one first. And what I'll do is we'll go through the table metrics and the assumptions made for these mortality estimates. You probably had a chance to look at this, but let's talk about it. In column one, you'll see the date. The next column to the right is the number of fish per replicate. Column three, the observed proportion of fish. These are fish that, this is the observed proportion of each release that were detected somewhere in the Pitcairn system at the JMF. So they made it from the release pipe to the pit detection system. The recapture proportion is the observed proportion of the JMF detected fish that were recaptured in the sample tanks. The observed mort proportion, it was an estimate that was made with an assumption, and it's the proportion of the observed morts to the total in the recapture sample, and these are the fish that are in hand, as the mortality is in hand at the sample tank. This estimate of mortality assumes that the non-detected and recaptured fish would have had the same mortality probability as the JMF detected fish if they had used the same passive route. Alternatively, you wanted to look at another estimate of mortality, and it's provided a maximum mortality proportion estimate. And this is defined, this is on the first page of the biological results in the handout, but it's defined as the observed morts plus the non-recaptured
observations times the observed mort proportion plus the non-observed morts. And this assumption associated with this mortality estimate is that fish that are not detected at the juvenile monitoring facility are considered mortalities.
Yeah.
So this is a, basically what we have here are two estimates of mortality, and which could serve as either end of the spectrum. Reality is probably somewhere in between. We don't know where. We don't know the fate of all those fish that weren't detected. We'll talk about the data specifically here in a second, but I just wanted to say, you know, the median gatewell residence time, the next column over, was the time from release to the first detection at the JMF. So when you, this is a part of a day. So if you look at the mean for 14A, that's roughly 7.2 hours, and the mean for 15A is 4.4. About 3 hours difference there. So when comparing the unit 14A and 15A observed proportions, which is that third column, again, these are the detections of fish at the JMF. You'll see that the range in 14A was in the high 80s and 90%, with a mean of 93.6. 15A had a mean of 77.5%, but it's noteworthy that the first 6 days of testing and high detections the JMF in the 80 to 90% range, and the latter 7 days reported had decreased detections at the JMF, which was expected based on the 2008-2009 work we've done with in the gate wells in 2013 as well. We observed decreased recapture of test fish with higher unit flow observations, and we've talked about that at previous spitter weights as well.
John, could you remind me, were these all released at the same time or day?
Each replicate, yes.
Yeah, they were all morning releases. At 8 o'clock was an hour, yeah, between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning.
Looking at the recapture proportions column, which is the fourth column, this data shows that they were very high for both groups in 14 and 15A. And with means in the mid to upper 90% range, it's a good comparison. The observed mort proportion in 14A had a mean of 20.9% mortality compared to 15A at 2.1% mortality. And using this mortality metric, this was significantly higher in 14A than 15A. The mean mortality using the max mort proportion estimate in 14A and 15A had a non-significant difference overall. So since the observed proportion difference between 14 and 15A were much more pronounced during the latter half of testing from April 7th to May 7th, NIMS divided the early and late groups for the max mort crop mortality estimates. An early group from April 1 to April 6th showed significantly higher mortality in 14A. And for the latter half, between April 7th and May 7th, it shows significantly lower mortality in 14A. So the assumption that missing fish are all mortalities helps drive the maximum crop mortality estimate up in the latter group. And yeah, if you look in your handout, there's some visual displays of the data as well. So yeah, again, we know we should consider both estimates, but recognize that we don't know what happened to the missing fish. We did have a detection in the coroner collector from one of the release groups. And, you know, based on previous year's testing, you know, this is something that's not unusual.
Do you have hydraulic information about the release location and how that leads into the screen system?
If you look in your packet, there's a diagram of the release pipe setup.
Okay.
And these were originally we had one track release mechanism. that we used in the past, but with comparing a modified unit to an unmodified unit, we had to make two.
Mr. Page 10.
Constructed by the project and made exactly the same. And when the pipes were inserted into the guides for release, they were exactly the same distance in the chase lot. So to the best of our knowledge, they're pretty much the same. As far as hydraulic information,
that's a key.
Downstream of the trash rack and upstream of the, in front of the STS near the top of the unit, we have
So the key is the velocity of the area of the release and the velocity as it goes into the screen, and what, what is that, I guess? And looking at these data, it looks like, what's blue?
0 to 1.
0 to 1. Mm-hmm. 4 feet per second is what sticks to my mind as being kind of the velocity at the intake, at the trash rack, in that range, 4 or 6. So it's going to go up from there as you go into the unit, but that's still not capture velocity, so I guess the point would be the fish could actually swim out of there.
That's quite possible. Early on in testing,
I hope so. Otherwise,
were the smallest fish.
Got an issue.
And I'm not sure how much they grew over the
right.
1 month of test period.
Yeah, how did they change over the time? Right? Do you have any idea of, just the vitality of those fish? Do they seem more active as temperatures warmed up?
They got bigger. They were all, they were healthy fish the whole time. We tagged down to 55 millimeters. And, initially the first 2-3 weeks, there was fish smaller than that we projected.
Did you hold any of your fish just out to look at tag retention?
We held them all 24 hours.
So that looked good.
We had
no problem with rejection.
Zero lost tags.
Double
over the
tags.
Course of the study, we didn't lose a tag. And we only had 4 fish that were mortalities after 24 hours old. Okay.
So that's pretty good. Pretty good.
That's not so bad. For that. I agree with Gary that it comes down to how comfortable we are with the assumption that fish not detected in the bypass are mortalities. So are they, when they come out of that release pipe, what are they doing?
Yeah, if they're going under the screen, which they could be, then they're not mortalities. They're just
not detected. Right.
The one fish that was seen in the corner collector that was released in 14A, and it was seen in the corner collector 10 days after it was released.
So they went back out in the forebay and wandered around and
got eaten by steelhead.
Got eaten by steelhead.
Yeah. Could be.
And then going through the corner collector. Yeah.
But the other issue is if they're not mortalities and they're going through the unit, there's potential that we're losing FGE.
Right.
This modification. Keep in mind this is at the upper end of 1%. We might even lose more if it went to the mid-range with that.
It is one gate well, three.
Right.
So that's the thing that to keep in mind, although it's probably the highest passage gate well in all that area. But
I think in previous guidance studies, we saw that the B slot had higher guidance efficiency. However, that was during testing.
That's not passage.
Highs.
That's not passage. That's just efficiency. So.
Right. But yeah, it does receive the largest amount of flow, and potentially the
pay slot. Well, yeah, and that's the thing is that the mod isn't in C slot, so that's not going to change. It's whatever the unit flow causes FG to be, in any unit. B is half of it, and C is the full plate. So
A is the full plate.
A is the full plate. So really, the effect. You just got to be careful. The effect isn't the entire unit. It's the effect is one gate well.
They all have the VBS porosity mod, though.
They all have a VBS porosity mod, which I doubt is going to cause
that. It's not changing the queue up
that.
The
okay. Right.
One noteworthy thing from this year, talking with the rigging crew, one thing we did is we made sure we inspected the VBSs. All the seals were good. And the rigging crew reported they did not see mortalities swirling around the gate well or on the screen, when they pulled the UBS to clean them on Mondays and Thursdays.
Right.
So,
so those are our two options. Either they're getting stuck on the screen or they're slipping into the turbine unit, reducing it.
So the other thing you would see if they were on the screen but lost the tag in the process of decomposition, but they would still come through the SM through the bypass. And Dean Ballinger, did you talk to him?
Well,
were they seeing any?
Randy and Dean sent some tags out of the sump, like we have in the past, and do you have any numbers?
There was about 60 tags in the sump there. We did that.
Of yours?
Yes. Well, all tags. I think
all
they
tags.
Were all ours, but so there were 60 tags there. One of them was actually Tiffany Marsh's fish, but the rest of them
right.
was, but there was 60.
But the rest were all from your fish?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Now, that's less than previous years, correct?
Yes.
Was there a higher likelihood that they were from the 15A group?
I haven't looked at that yet.
Yeah. That would be good to look at.
Yeah.
So there were tags from all the other thousands and thousands of fish that passed through there, just out of those
I didn't
two.
See any.
That's weird.
Yeah.
A lot of fish go through that bypass system this season with those tags.
Seems like, yeah.
So the other thing, though, that I was trying to get at, did Dean see any evidence of, since that unit was one of the few units running
yes,
at that powerhouse, he should have seen a signature if there was a problem developing in there.
That's right, and we had, we sent the weekly reports to Randy and we took a look at them. And
I didn't see anything.
And Dean didn't see anything. We couldn't see anything that stuck out as concerning.
So I think that's an important point, too.
So and we had that running at high flow for
out of three running.
Three units run.
Yeah, it's 30% of the fish. Or more. Because this year we had hardly any unit operation.
Another thing we did is we went back and Randy looked at the 5-minute data, ops data, and gave us ranges for where we were operating those units on each day to make sure that we were in fact operating there.
And that's the other thing is, was the release pipe in the right spot? Were you actually operating at the intended operations, or was there something screwy there?
And then the 15A slot does not have a regulating orifice, so
right.
two orifice passages are possible in that slot.
That's right.
Mm. So is that information provided in this detailed package here, or is it something that's not?
That should be in the draft report, I would think.
The draft now, we're going to put it together. I don't know where it is.
What's that?
The process.
Yeah.
One other question.
For
Randy. How you guys mix the fish when you tag? This is getting at tag, potential tag, bias. But you guys mix you tag the fish, then did you mix, were the fish that were put in each gay well of a common group, so it couldn't be
we picked up fish. Every day from Spring Creek, they went into a tank and we tagged out of that and we alternated the release. We, of course, tagged one, two groups and we alternated them, which one got released fish, which tag group got released in which location.
Okay.
And which,
so
yeah.
So there couldn't be a consistent bias with the tagger or something like that for one.
Switched all of that stuff up. Yeah.
Assumed you did, but just had to ask that question.
So, John, you said that this proportion, observed proportion, this decrease that we saw over time, you expected that?
Yeah, when we did the work in 2013, we were testing TRD then, and we had a gay well operation at the low end of 1% that we were testing the TRD against. So we had a low flow gate well, unmodified, high flow with the TRD, and high flow unmodified. And the high flow unmodified, I think it resulted in around 40% live recaptures of fish and another 15% morts in hand on top of that. So similar trends. In 2008-2009, we were also seeing that the higher flow test operations resulted in less recapture.
So I guess why didn't we see that earlier on in the year? It seemed like that first week.
What's kind of interesting to me is the first part of the year, and that we saw good recapture rates. Because the second part with the lower recapture was expected in the high flow. So yeah, that is pretty interesting, and I don't know if it has something to do with smaller fish, maybe.
Smaller
temperature, I don't know.
Very high.
Hard to say.
14, it was crazy.
it does go down, you know, and by 421 it reaches its low, and then it starts to go back up again, and by the end of the test period for the ACE lock evaluations, it was up in the low 80s again. Mm-hmm. So.
Which is that, the observed?
Yeah, the observed portion. 15A. 15A.
Went down to 4.
So you expected this curve to have that's.
We expected the lower recapture.
He thought the recapture would be consistently lower than, say, the 14A because it's at the mid-range, less flow, higher recapture rate, higher flow, and the 15A unit, he expected to recapture less, but sometimes he recaptured more, which is why. I mean, right. And it could be because the fish are smaller initially. Mm-hmm. And weren't able to swim that's into the turbine yet. You know,
my only theory is that the temperatures were changing, so they're smaller, plus their physiology is changing as the season warms up, and they're more able to resist and swim. Yeah. Their performance goes up.
Which indicates we could have an FGE issue.
Yeah, we could. We know that. It's nothing new at Bonnie, too. It's been an FGE issue forever. But we know that the FGE usually drops as the season progresses. We've seen that. So, yeah. And the other thing you could do is take a look at FGE. Kind of hesitate to go down that road again after 20 some odd years of looking at it and walking away with just a.
Well, that's like with a performance test happening, it would be an easy way to get that without having
you could do
additional
it.
Work.
Yeah, it would actually be part of it if you get that.
Yeah, you know, when we talk, I don't know if you guys recall, but when we talked about this, you know, this alternative at previous bitter ways, which is one of the reasons why the TRD originally ranked so high in the alternatives evaluation is because, you know, that was not expected to impact FGE, if anything, improve
it.
Right. And when that did not work significantly enough to function as a standalone alternative, then we had to reconsider this
and
now.
We said
we don't know if this is going to reduce FGE.
We would be okay with reducing it.
A little bit less hydraulically efficient, but given the high turbine survival, the benefits of project passage as a whole is pulling more fish over to B2 and opening up the turbine geometry.
Right.
You know, basically, we thought it was going to be a wash anyway.
We said all through that we'd be okay with the loss of FGE, a small amount, so that's not unexpected. This is a little unexpected. And a 44% mortality in 14A is a little unexpected, too. What'd you do to those fish?
Well, I did notice in Gilbert's work, he did a kind of a size gradation in his first groups were smaller fish. He noticed high mortality in those groups as well.
Yeah, we've seen that in the past.
As a matter of fact, in the packet, I included this data results from 2008-2009.
Right.
And you'll see that especially at the high end, the smaller fish did have a lot higher mortality at the high flow.
Yeah, I think probably in your annual report or the report for the research, a little comparison to past years would be appropriate just to put things in context. Randy, I think that's, look at Lyle's work and maybe make some comparisons.
Yeah.
So we also have a data table for 14A versus 15C. 15C operate at the upper end. And again, we didn't want to, knowing that there might be or might not be, compromise with FGE, we thought we were hitting our hydraulic objectives, with the C slot, as it was, and all that needed was a BBS modification. So that's what we tested, and the table, has the same metrics as table one. So the means of the observed proportions were similar and high for both 14A and 15C. And the means of the recapture proportions were nearly identical. The observed mort proportion mean was higher in 14A by 1.5% and significant. The max mort proportion estimate mean was higher in 15A by 1.1% but was not significant. 14A and 15C did not have significant differences in gable residence times as opposed to what we saw in the 15A, 14A evaluation where there was a significant difference. Using these estimates of mortality, we think we met our objectives for, improved survival in the 15C gate well at the upper end of the 1%. And so I'm not going to go through all the visual displays of the data. You guys can make this video and we can talk more about it. You know, if you call me any time, there's also box plots included for passage times, comparisons for some of these fish. So,
so you're looking at a report?
Sorry.
My fault. Go ahead, Jerry. I can
answer this. Report out, draft report sometime this fall?
Fall.
Yep. Okay, so we'll comment on that. I sent a couple of comments to John yesterday, just his thoughts for the report, what it should have, and the comparisons and some maybe simplification. That your max mort equation, I couldn't wrap my head around that after trying several times. I sent an email to Ben this morning saying, hey,
Ben's on leave this week.
Told me he was on leave, but he still was responding. So, so I'm just trying to figure out what that didn't make sense to me. So, maybe it's just my head.
But. I could wrap it around your head.
Ben will wrap it around you.
Here.
Before I retire, we're going to
the alley.
Page one.
So,
the actual condition in the gate doesn't provide us too much information. This is last time conditions. In other words, you can't release a fish in 15C at the same time you release a fish in
15C. Fish were released at the same time as 14A, or within a half an hour, but it was the same.
So comparisons between 14A.
At the mid-range.
We just made a comparison between the 15 and C and what we saw in 15A.
The first study was 14A. Yeah, 14A versus 15A was the first part of it.
Yeah,
14A versus 15C was the second part. And we released a group of fish in each slot about within a half hour.
So I guess all I'm trying to dive into is the brief statements about the differences you observed between 15A condition that you saw and 15C. Maybe I misunderstood what you were saying. There was some kind of pattern that we're trying to emphasize that I'm trying to make clear. If that makes sense to me at this point.
The 15A slot receives higher flow. And so when we, I'm going to try to answer it if I'm not getting it, just feel free to say, let me know. But 15A slot was the high flow slot. And so that's why I had the larger blockage area to reduce the hydraulic efficiency of that slot and provide, better gate mort conditions in tandem with the VBS modification. The 15C slot, when we evaluated the alternatives, we didn't want to, go backwards with so much work that has been done to increase flow into the gate well and provide, more guidance into the gate well. So it looked like that we were meeting our hydraulic criteria, and we would meet it without a plate in place, and so to not compromise any FGE and preserve what we have, we thought that we could achieve our hydraulic and biological goals with just a BBS modification. So the 15A comparison to the 14A was the high unit flow in 15A modified versus the mid-range in 14A, and the middle of the road has been our regionally accepted, operation in the interim while we work on fixing this problem. So with these Spring Creek hatchery fish being in a very sensitive and vehicle environment, this was a good comparison for the evaluation to try to get those gate-well hydraulics and survival, these modified units, equivalent to what we see in our regionally agreed to gate-well configuration. So the C slot was the operated high flow against 14A.
So basically two tests, two questions. First question was, can you operate at 18K without killing fish in the high flow slot? That's basically, if no, then everything else is off the table. We're done. Got to go back to something else. So there's two questions. And the second question was, well, how far do you need to go with the blockages if it works? So that was the A to A slot comparison. C to A slot comparison to tell you whether or not you needed to do the C slot or not. That's all that was. So that's the series one, series two. Series two was sort of a follow-on. Just basically, do you need to spend the money and can you preserve some fish guidance efficiency by not cutting the flow on that slot?
Right.
So there was really just two. It was two studies, but the first one's the most important. That's the A to A slot comparison. That didn't work. Everything's done.
So for my benefit, just because I'm not sure I remember this very well, regardless of the date that these things were tested, can fish pass through slot C, 15, as well as A, or is it just one slot?
No, it's all of them,
right? Yeah.
So there's three slots per trip. Right. So I mean that those slots are available for fish pass.
And they all each have one's three orifice on each one of these gateway slots. Yeah, it's so, just that some pass more flow than others, fish than others.
So the piece that I was talking about wasn't the comparison between 14 and 15 slots. It was the statement about demonstrating the difference between 15A and 15C. Things were done at different times. So that just that comment, especially when you think there's an observed pattern that isn't consistent with what you expect to see.
That's
so
correct.
I'm just a little cautious about that statement, and I wanted to bring that out.
Okay.
Right. It was the statement regarding the meetings and residence times.
Okay.
Because I think what I said was catches. We had statistically, they were the same in 14A and 15C as opposed to what we saw earlier. In the test period, which were differences.
You might. Well, so what does that mean? I mean, if it's a few minutes, it doesn't mean much. But
and how can you get to it here? I don't think you can.
No, I think there needs to be an addition to this. And what I would look at is, I mean, that's kind of what I was talking about when comparing the past years. Mm-hmm. What have we been seeing consistently at Bonneville? We've been doing, OPE studies for years out there, so we could look at that and just look at the comparison.
What we saw in 2009 was meeting gateway residence time, as it increased, was linked with higher mortality. In 2013, it was a little bit different. We had relatively swift gateway residence times for the unmodified high flow unit, and longer gateway residence times for the low flow units.
Which, we know that. I mean, the more turbulence you have in the gatewell, the quicker those fish get out. Doesn't mean they're surviving it, but they get out quick.
That's right, yeah.
So you got to be careful. Yeah. You know, gatewell time, quicker doesn't always be better.
It is that assumption that makes this sense.
Yeah, I think it needs to be contrasted to what's normal, what's expected, based on unmodified units at Bonneville, or even at other dams too, although the Bonneville gatewells are quite different from the other dams.
So sorry to draw that out.
No, that's okay.
That's what my head was when I was looking at it.
So. I mean, a residence time of 3-4 hours, that's pretty typical. And we've known for years that as fish go in, they tend to hold up a bit until it gets dark, and then they go through the orifices. So, seeing a residence time like that doesn't, especially if Randy's released in the morning, you're going to see those fish hold up until probably mid-afternoon or so once the shadows hit the gatewell.
We did see that in the data. And
we've seen it for years and years.
As dusk comes, they tend to move through.
Yep.
So how have you addressed looking at that closer? And is it going to be, that's a known condition that's influencing what you think you get at the end, what your expectations are? Is that being built into anything you're looking at now, or is that just going to be out there? Question.
I'm sorry, I didn't
follow. The question, correct me if I'm wrong here, but are you asking, are we considering trying to improve the gatewell residence times?
Well, I think that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to reduce the amount of time you're doing.
Well, no, not really. This is more of a reducing the flow and harsh conditions in the gate well, so that fish that,
yeah. It's not necessarily bad to be in a gate well, it's just bad when conditions are bad, when you get beat up in it.
Yeah. Okay.
What we're trying to do is stuck to a screen.
Because it's a high mortality. We've seen really super high mortality, so we're just trying to reduce the mortality.
That's why.
Birds are in it.
And yeah, trying to reduce a big
with the turbulence swirls them around so long that they can't find the orifice. They can't get to it, and so they just perish.
The other issue is the duration. They leave the time during the day that fish are around so that's why it seems like another factor that's influencing what's happening there. Whether it's good or bad, I didn't try to go there. But it certainly is a factor that seems like everybody around the table thinks is important. So I'm just unsure why that's not built into what's.
Well, more than that, for me, the bigger confounding variable was that we tested the A slot with small fish, and we tested the C slot with big fish. And that, to me, I mean, it makes another variable that you got to consider when you're looking at the results.
You're right. That does, that's a confounding thing there.
You know, comparing 15A to 15C, yes. However, you know, using the same size fish through the test, period, it's still a good indication, 14A versus 15C, even a month later with bigger fish, these are they're still, more sensitive than river run fish, based on 2008 work. I think it's still a good comparison. In river run fish, you even perform better.
Well, it just makes me wonder, when we had this decline in observed proportion for 15A, would we have seen that if we had used those bigger fish later in the year?
And that was kind of my question on table 1B. Did observed and recapture, did those two columns get inverted? So I'm trying to figure out how you had lower observed but then higher recapture.
Observed is what was seen in the full flow detectors. Like in that first line for 4.1 there, we saw 95% of them at the full flow.
Yep.
Of that 95, we recaptured every one of them, 100% of them.
It's a
sort
by code efficiency.
Okay, so in your observed thing, because I got headaches trying to figure out your metrics last night, and maybe I was drinking too much bourbon,
too.
I don't know, but it should have helped. It really didn't. So
I was having the same problem, Tom. So
yeah. Because I saw the observed, observed 44.
No, I actually poured some.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Okay.
I didn't follow it as well as Tom did.
What about that much in my glass?
For instance, on the 13th,
that goes down.
Which one?
Pick your favorite, Dave.
I had 15C on the data open, so I did the same comparison. On the 13th, we had 96.2 odd proportion in the recap of 100.
Right. 96.
Every single one of those animals.
96% of them were seen by the pit tag detectors.
Okay, so
let's
make that calculation.
And then of those 96, all of the fish that were seen, we recaptured.
And the recap location is
the denominator.
The separation by code tanks at the juvenile facility.
It's got a switch gate on it, and sometimes it misses fish.
So I guess, that's the only thing I'm kind of struck with, is just the fact that as the season went on, for the high flow unit, you lost a bunch of fish. And these fish should be. So, what's your theory on that? These are, because early in the season, these fish should be less. Would be. This is what I'm trying to wrap my head around. Early in the season, are we thinking they're swimming out of the system, or are we thinking they're just getting sucked in the turbines?
Other way around,
they're actually being guided. But later in the season, they're not being guided as well, and I'm thinking that they're able to swim out of that area.
But that's the highest
around. And that's when the.
But they're not doing that for 14A. Why would they do it for 15, but not for 14?
Higher velocity in the unit.
Higher velocity.
But 15's got the higher velocity.
Right, that's what it... Right.
So they would be swimming out of the higher velocity area?
That... It's not that high.
Well, it's not that high. So
more,
are you saying...
More
are
flow is going under the screen, under that, but because you've cut back on the amount of flow going up the
slot. But I'm saying that 15C, you don't see any fish swimming out in that scenario, and that's a lower flow scenario. So why don't you see any fish swimming out?
Of 15C,
yeah,
that's later in the season.
Because we had low turbine flow.
It's only a couple weeks.
We tried really hard to keep the adjacent unit that we were testing in for 15 on. So if we were operating in 15A, we needed 14 on. But we may not have had 13 on for 14. So some of this could be the four-bay hydraulics. We really focused our operations to make sure we had the bay adjacent to the one we were testing for 15 operating. But we didn't have enough water
to do that for
14. So just be aware of that issue that 15 definitely had the adjacent unit operating whatever bay we were in, but that wouldn't have been true necessarily for 14.
So 16 was on, 13 was not necessary.
Correct.
We'll have it off
to the extent that
summary.
So the point is that we couldn't have every unit. What would have been ideal was 13, 14, 15, 16, the whole time. We didn't have that many units running.
So I guess, I mean, the bottom line is there's not a lot of evidence that fish are being impinged and killed on the screens.
No, my bigger question is...
I'd like to see the results of those tags that were found in the sump.
The concern I have is, though, the fish that we've lost, which way are they getting lost? Are they swimming to the forebay, and which makes us happier? Or if they're going under through turbine,
I think they're going
we're not as happy.
Right. I think you're right. I think that's what they're doing. I don't think they're dying on the VBS, the STS. I think they're just they're swimming around, and they have enough ability to move around a bit, and they're just going, being swept under. That screen is, they're gaining a bit of better physiology with temperatures going up. They're getting larger. That slot has a plate in it, so there's more flow going under the screen than what there is in the other slots, and you have a higher velocity going through under the screen.
Yeah, I know. So we're more comfortable with getting more, so we're doing the exact opposite of what we wanted to. We're going to put more fish in the turbine.
Well, for an FGE study, it's probably going the wrong way.
That's kind of my point.
Well, keep in mind, this is
just
not,
check
this is not an FGE study.
I know. It does say FGE study, but we probably should call it a Gable
survival
study.
It's a Gable survival study.
So, and we knew going into this.
The catch spot could be worse.
I wouldn't be putting blinders on and say, okay, great, we've taken care of the Gable, but now we're putting a lot more fish in the turbines, which has a lower survival. Well, so that's going to get us what?
It's a lot, Tom. I don't know that it's a lot. I mean, we said going into this, at least I did, that I'd be willing to take a hit on FGE to get that survival up.
50% though?
Yeah,
I mean, when you're going down to 40%, 40% loss?
That's not what you're going to see at the small monitor. Well,
that's the question.
I guess you'll find out this year, and I hope to God we're not going to come back going, oops. But if you guys want to go forward, hey, it's your $9.86 million test, so there you go. Awesome.
There you go.
Cricket defers the core and lets them go out a very
Tom
large.
Says it's awesome. There you go. Right
go
there,
out with
right,
a large right, branch, right, start right, sawing right, on it, and have fun with it. I'm not going to catch you.
Well, I mean, I think we should all recognize that you know pulling more float at B2 has benefits beyond just the gate well.
Well, and we're talking one slot here with the results, not all three of them. So, you know, it isn't every fish going into the unit. It's those fish that would have gone up the C slot, or the A slot, I mean, not the C slot.
Have you compared these Gable residence times to other facilities to see if that's higher or lower?
No, I haven't looked in detail at that.
It was kind of shocking to me to see if that was happening.
I don't think that's unusual at all.
Yeah.
You don't think that's unusual?
No, I don't either.
No, John. A lot of times it depends on when they enter, too.
It does. So you put them in the morning, they're not going to go through until...
Was that a mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a mean.
It is a mean?
If
it
were a lot less.
A day. Or, yeah, mean instead of median. If it was a day or something like that, that'd be a problem. Yeah. A few hours.
Yeah, I've seen
it
for 3 days.
Yeah.
That's not
good.
So,
folks, I'm looking for a takeaway.
Do we go forward or don't?
Forward.
Well, you guys have made the decision, sounds like, to move. That's what you said earlier, George, was you guys have made the decision to move forward with developing the team and everything else. So, really, that's your guys' decision on that. But,
no, we can collect the decision.
So you're going to throw it out there?
Everything that we've done has been collectively done.
Okay.
I mean, we've submitted sampling plans, testing plans. This has been a collective.
So you're going to ask around the table if everybody's on board on this? Is it half forward?
Today's not the day to do that.
You know what? That would be kind of fun.
Go ahead. I don't know how long people have that.
You don't have time.
Data to look at. 2 days?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And is this even a draft report?
No.
Okay. No, it's a preliminary memo.
Is the data going to change, Randy?
There's more description, though. That
sure, there's more description needed.
Lots
more,
but, and some comparisons.
But yeah. The data itself is not going to change.
Honestly, no.
I mean, you're not still looking at the bit tag.
No.
Yeah, so you might either want to wait, you know, the next meeting. I don't know if that's too late for you guys to
call next month.
You know, do a call next month, send an email out and ask if everybody's on board or look for a show of hands around the table today. It's up to you guys.
Well, we're meeting on Monday with folks out of the project to discuss scheduling.
So you're moving.
We're going to continue working on the DDR.
At some point, that's point of no return.
That's kind of where.
That's a point of no return when we award a contract.
Sort of. And you're sort right of. There.
Well,
you don't have that yet. So you haven't awarded the contract, but you are putting people to work on this. You've got PM, and you've
we've
got.
We've tabled things after plans and specs, though, and brought it back up.
But I mean, we've shown interest over the years to get this problem fixed. I mean, so kudos to the Corps for continually moving it.
Yeah.
Stepping out on it, so it's not. It's not unusual that they would do this, or we expected them almost to be moving this speed. And so the results don't appear to have any showstoppers. You may want to look at it more, but why would we want to put them on pause as we looked at it another month?
Yeah, I don't think you should put them on pause.
It's up to you guys.
No, I don't. So I think we just go forward.
Continue to move forward.
Yes.
But I think we need to reconvene before we award a contract. We definitely have to be on board.
So why don't we have another similar discussion? When is the draft report? When do we expect to see that?
I don't remember what was in there.
The end of the day tomorrow, was it?
It's not.
I heard it was Friday.
Yeah, somewhere mid-December, I want to say. Next FedRig is 3rd of December, so.
But we can have one ahead of that if we need for just this decision.
So is 3rd of December decision point for you, George?
Well, we're moving forward, but Lori's correct. I mean, we're not at the point where we're going to award a contract. But are you
looking for a show of hands at some point in time?
Yeah.
When is that going to be?
I assume that we were ready to go.
That's what I heard you say.
Everybody around the table.
But that's an assumption. So
that
you
is
want
to, assumption.
Is it? Then you're looking for a show of hands.
Well, I'm waiting to hear somebody say, no, that's not true. I mean, we're in this together.
Right, but there's two ways of looking at it. Either you can say yes or say no, I guess. You wait for somebody to scream. I wouldn't want to do that too long because that scream could come right when you're just letting the contract. So I guess I would ask that you guys look for a show of hands at some point. You can decide when you want to do that, but it's up to you. It's up to your schedule, but you should probably do it that way rather than waiting for a no to come out of somewhere. Tom.
I'm just kind of like, yeah, it looks like you might have solved your gateway problem, but I think we just bought all those FGE improvements that we spent $17 million on. Looks like we just flushed those down the toilet. So if we're comfortable with that, go forth and... So
a portion of it probably did.
I think that's overstated. I think it is too.
Well, I hope you're right. And I guess we're going to find out next year if you guys are going to do a performance test.
We're not going to find out because we're not going to have the mods in when they do the performance test. The mods aren't going to come in until after.
I don't think it's overstated because I think that's true. You did lose, unless you want to believe that all those fish died. I hope that's not the case.
Guys, down the toilet's overstated.
Down the toilet's overstated.
No, I said the improvements you guys got. You just basically flushed
the improvements we did back in
2002 to 2005.
No, I don't think so. I disagree.
I doubt it.
I hope you're right.
Are down the toilet with this.
All I'm just saying is 15C. That would scare. Honestly, that would scare the crap out of me. That your 15A. Halfway through the season, you got down to 63% observed losses, 62%, 58%, 44%.
That's what we've observed with previous testing in unmodified gate wells at high flow.
At high flow, exactly. And that's why we, part of the reason we moved away from high flow is because of mortality and that. And but you looked at 14?
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, guidance efficiency at Bonneville is like 25%. Where do those 75% go?
I know.
Under the screen. So I don't know that this changed that very much.
I'm just saying we made a big investment to try to get FG improvements.
I know. And we probably erode that somewhere.
And we're probably going to erode that to some level.
I agree with you.
And if people are comfortable with that,
we just
go
don't
forward
know
and then we'll deal with it.
I'm comfortable with some. I'm not comfortable with losing the whole thing. I don't think we have.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
The problem is we're not going to know how much we lost.
We don't know.
We're not going to test it.
I know.
So that's going to be awesome.
I got a quarter.
Well, we could delay the test.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, gears are rolling, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
So Tom, would a week of more review help you?
Yes, I would.
Will change anything?
We have no data to know what level of, is this actually a valid impact? Is it actually a concern? And there's going to be no way of measuring it. So it's going to be a leap of faith. And if the Corps is comfortable making that leap of faith, I hope there's good solid footing underneath it when you land.
I think that's overstated. I think it's wrongly stated.
But wrongly stated that you might have an impact?
No,
there are a couple
can't
of things
that
are on the table that are established fact, and that is that the CRFM program basically is looking at a sunset in 2018. And the guidance that I've been given is that we will not go into 2018 without a contract fully completed. Basically, we shut the program down. So the options that are on the table is we proceed with what we think is good information, good data, address the issue, address the problem that we collectively agreed to address with the methodologies that we've got in place, or we scuttle it.
But I think that you need to collectively canvas the region and say, are you okay with moving forward or not with this before you finally go down the road of contracting it? And that's how this group works. Always has, but you can still do what you want.
No.
But you should at least get the opinion of the Fitterwing, members to say, we're good, or no, we're adamantly opposed, and we're going to take you to REOG or whatever, and fight this thing. But I think it's appropriate to at least ask the question of the folks around the table if they're willing, if they think this is evidence enough to move forward with this solution.
Kind of summarize. The present study indicates, I think pretty well, that we improved the gate well condition.
Yeah.
And that this fix improves the gate well condition. That if you operate now at the higher end of the 1%, you're not going to get increased mortality and injury with this fix. The question is that there, it also seems to indicate that there may be a hit on FGE. And are we willing to accept that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
But you understand that this was an unusual water year.
Yeah.
And that variable needs to be repeated in that study.
True, but you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, I don't know how much that plays into it. These fish are released. We don't even know where this release point is representative of runner river fish.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, we have no idea. That's just to get the fish in the gateway.
That's just to get the fish in the gateway.
So you got to be careful, George, that you go down that road too far and it says, well, the study's bogus and we need to do it again because it was a bad year.
We met the operation. Yeah. I don't think we can do another test.
I think there probably were some, you had to manipulate the reservoir and do some things to make it happen. So to get tailwaters, I don't know how representative that is. There's maybe some issues there that could have led to an unusual FG.
We were still in the normal operation range. We didn't do anything terribly unusual.
Could you look at your forebay elevation versus FG? Is that something that, Randy, have you looked at that by any chance just to see if there's any correlation?
I have.
Because that would drop the overall water column and location of fish as they enter. Of course, it wouldn't change your fish. That won't matter.
The release
was fixed.
Yeah, it was back. Yeah.
They wouldn't know. River Run would know, but not your fish.
No.
Okay, forget it. Bad idea. Dumb idea. For the record.
You had one. Had one good one.
He's done. Yeah.
You're averaged out now.
He's shutting up. A dumb idea for the day. Probably not. So I'm asked for just follow up procedure.
Okay. So again, we're following through with what we mentioned earlier on. There's a better weight meeting in December, and at that time frame, I'll ask which one.
And the draft report will be out prior to that, so we can look at in detail.
That's what I'm thinking, but.
When do you want December to discuss
the CT?
A month before that?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask a straight up question. When can we have that report?
I'm not sure right now.
December 11th?
You don't want to go Elk Hunting.
Elk Hunting is this Sunday, Saturday.
So you're not going to Michigan, are you?
Yes, of course. November is Michigan.
Yeah. You can work there.
It's
going to be sitting on a tree stand anyway.
I've got a good internet connection
right here in tree stand. Yeah. I don't even have cell service there. It's awesome.
How about before Thanksgiving?
I hear Friday after Thanksgiving is excellent.
That's, yeah, before Thanksgiving is November 9th for me. Because I'm on leave the last two weeks.
So what do you expect to see different,
when,
though?
When I mean, can we get it, and then when can we have a conversation? Yeah. I mean, the truth of the matter is the team is going to work on closing out the DDR. We're going to put a schedule together that, if we were to move forward, would be viable. Mm-hmm. So there's some things we need to do on the DDR that closes it out. We're waiting for this piece, so we can't completely close the DDR out. The other thing that probably needs to be looked at is some idea of when to give us a perception of the amount of time that having those units be able to run hot keeps water out of B1. That's the other thing that's going on here, is that we're trying to maximize the use of B2.
Yeah,
no, and we haven't done that yet, but that might be worthwhile information to have summarized as when you all get to the point that you're trying to vote.
Yeah, we've kind of gone through all of that in the process of setting up the operating limits for the powerhouse and FPOM. So I think that piece is done. I think it really comes down to there's two questions or two issues. Either you go forward with the installation, or you do another year of study. Yeah, or you go back to square one and try to figure out something else. I'm sure we're not going there. So it's really, did we get the information we needed to move forward? Do we need another year of study to get that, or are we moving forward? That's really all there is to it. And we don't have time or the money this year to figure out, you know, for 16, more research. It's too late for that. So it comes down to moving forward or not moving forward. That's all there is to it. That's all that's left. I think we have all the data we need. I think we have it right now.
What's your anticipated award date right now?
I want to say June, July time frame.
Okay.
Correct. And I also wanted to make the caveat too that these plates they're not permanent, they're bolted down. So for whatever reason,
sure,
we find something that is goes really wrong, we can remove the plates.
Right. There's a reverse mode here.
I want to throw that out there for comfort.
Pretty simple. It's not a one-way street. Right.
Just got to fire up the team again. Ball rolling again.
No, you just pay 10.
There's 10 years down the road.
Yeah, yeah, get this ticking out.
I'm not going to worry about it.
Well, no.
Yeah. You're going to leave us a big turd, aren't you? I mean, TRD.
This is not going to be. No, wait a minute. I was never for that turd. TRD.
Awesome.
You know that.
So I guess I'm wondering, given, you know, it'll take Randy a while to get the report together, understandably, and you guys have the schedule questions to sort out. I'm wondering if, you know, January is too late, assuming that the team you guys are already kind of scoped to keep moving forward on this. Why couldn't you just keep moving forward on initial plans and specs?
Do you want an award in the June, July time frame? When are we advertising?
The job information office will be complete by the beginning of January. So we would be complete with our DPS review, and the advertisement would be in February.
So basically, so February is when it would need, we would need a decision in January. We'd all need to be on a path forward in January.
And you're going to present at APEC, right?
Yes.
Okay.
See,
by then.
December. Yeah, the only other path I could think of is if folks have specific questions. Are you going to be around this month, October? Randy?
No, most of the time.
Most of the time?
Going parts of the year, yeah.
So I'm just thinking if there were specific pieces that people wanted to look at that aren't in your data, preliminary data summary, in order to make a decision, they could specifically ask for that.
Yeah, as Jenner, yeah.
Make sure you ask me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Those questions need to funnel to John.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't mean that improperly. I just So if there was something that people specifically wanted to know to answer the question, that might speed it up a little bit instead of waiting for the final draft report.
Whereas if they get confused as you send your questions to John so we can board around so the report answers that easy.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
good. My problem. I'm confused.
That helps you out. Deconfuse.
From my own education and understanding, is the team's correlation with the fish guidance efficiency with the observed proportion percentages? I just want to make it clear. I'm just curious. Maybe someone can
So the answer, I think, to your question, Karina, is yes.
So for the record, there, we're pressing forward.
I think you have to, right? I mean, at this point, to keep that option open.
Correct.
Right? So if you need until, you know, early January or something to have a... You know the holidays are going to screw things up in December. If we don't have reason to believe that we're going to have the report in hand on December 3rd, you know, the next four-week meeting, and then there's the APEC presentations.
When is the second week of December? I think it's the first full week. I think it's kind of a calendar.
I'm looking for my calendar on here.
Well, usually APEC is
all
those
presentations on the
A. Usually it's a presentation of preliminary results.
I think it's the week of 7 December. 7th is a Monday.
I guess what my point is, I just want to set realistic expectations about making sure that you guys have time to work out what the schedule would look like if you were to put the MFS so that you could provide that.
And
something along those lines sounds good to me.
The 12th of January. It gives people a week to come back after Christmas break, get back into their mailbox, and it's a Tuesday. And we just proposed a special Twitter wait on January 12th.
Love you too.
And it can be a phone call.
What time?
I'll have to look at the fish calendar too. But.
Okay. I heard Chief Burry has a nice meeting.
What is that? That day is a what?
Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. In fact, that's the only thing.
Well, it's in the afternoon. Let's do it 1 to 4. The Chief Burry has a delightful meeting room.
January 12th afternoon. There aren't too many meetings. Starts at 1. Issues. Here you are. On the phone.
Oh, please, we'll be talking
to you. We'll be on the
phone.
There's a water form. Yeah, the pros are going to be a water form.
What are we doing?
Oh, and I'm sure Trevor would love to come in on that day.
Yeah.
What cakes are you bringing?
Birthday.
Isn't this your birthday?
Isn't this
your
birthday?
So I won't talk about
your
birthday.
What's
your
conference?
I keep my mouth shut here.
January 12th, 1:30 conference call, and John will set it up.
You got to go through me on everything Bonneville.
Or if you need a room, let us know. I can probably send you.
Is that what I'm retaining?
Then you can end.
Well, my concern would be that our job approval checklist would be complete before then.
It can still be complete.
Is that a slogan?
Yeah, that is.
Fair. So I just want to make sure. I would want to move forward if that would be.
You can get that done. You just can't advertise until we have.
Package before it gets to come.
Okay.
Actually, technically, she spelled it out for him.
So are we good on the GE discussion for now?
Yes. How are those orifices?
B2 orifices.
They look awesome.
That's pretty much all we're looking to do at this point. Okay. So initially, that this project was tied in with future FGE. That was when the idea, the thinking was that there were other options on the table, and we were going to use light as an attraction. Since we're not using light as an attraction mechanism, that's pretty much dropped off of the collaborative effort between both projects. So at this point, we're simply looking to complete the report. I know that there's been discussions about utilizing different light sources for the orifice. That's not preclude us from utilizing, that's not preclude us from having projects to have installed the appropriate light sources. But at this point, we don't have a plan to move forward any more than just a condition.
I have a plan to move forward.
Okay.
And you. And I'd like to see at least some point have a discussion of that. I even have a sketch of an idea.
No,
I'd like to see
no.
you guys
oh,
pursue.
Sketch.
It's just a cartoon.
Has it Myers reviewed your sketch?
Ed and I have discussed this. And
you're in trouble now.
I think just closing it out with a whatever report is not enough. I think that still, there's something that needs to be done at that project to make those orifices at least easier to monitor. We've said that in our comments, I don't know how many years ago it was, and I sent an email to you, George, a while back, and let you know that I was thinking this. So I'd like to at least have a chance to an audience to sit down and talk with you guys about some closeout ideas. I'm not talking anything expensive, but I do think that there was an issue that we brought up, and just, you know, saying we're not going to do anything is not enough. I mean, to report something, but it's not. I think there's some things we can do that would be inexpensive, but would greatly facilitate the ability to inspect that, and also facilitate the lighting of those orifices, you know, to actually work past the spider season, the start of the spider season at Bonneville Dam. So,
just 'cause you're afraid of spiders.
What?
Just because you're afraid of spiders.
I'm not afraid of spiders. I just can't even, you can't see through the glass. It's so full of spider crap. Yeah, it doesn't come off. And they fight.
Ah, so he is scared of spiders.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean,
they got eight legs versus two.
You grab those lights to move them out of the way to look up the tube. You're grabbing an electronic device on a wet grating, steel grating, and steel-toed boots and all that, and That gives me the willies.
You're not dragging the copper wire behind you?
Cats.
Just as well.
Cats love chasing spiders, so take care of that.
I would take spiders over electrocution any day. So just being able to inspect that properly, I think, is important. And I got a simple idea that
give
I think
a flashlight.
Might be enough to... That doesn't work.
No. When would you like to get together?
It's up to you, Gab. Who's the... John, are you the... point on this one?
Yes, we have a special.
I would. Yes, I would like to have a special Federwig.
Why don't you guys do it? Are you still meeting the PDT or?
Well,
like I
said, we're just looking at closing out reports, but the PDT is just focused on just that effort. But that said, we need to have another PDT meeting for them, and we can lay things out. Realistically, the way I see it playing out, and I don't know this for a fact, but I see you taking whatever concept idea you have and basically trying to build it to the operations space and so on.
Can they do it? Yeah. I mean, it's basically an idea of enclosing the light so we don't have the spider issue with the light or the, it's not really calcium, but there's a stain from the water that gets on there as the water evaporates. So we can keep those lights actually shining on the orifice and not on some reflective surface of the lens. And also extend the tubes so people can actually see down in there and see if this thing's plugged or not, because we're not going to fix that sputtering. We know that. That's going to be too expensive, and it's just probably not worth the cost. But at least to be able to inspect it to make sure that there's not a plug. I think that's
shut up.
Pretty simple. Extend the tube and put a better light system in there, and LEDs, and we're done. What are you laughing at?
we are looking forward to replacing them all.
Dear God, you should start
something. Yeah, that doesn't help us with the...
You can go to chair.
No.
Better.
I think but the lines up.
Right.
Gary's a chair. This is Spider Boy is the chair.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen that with the.
You're not
even
gonna give
me Spider Man.
Spider Man. Well, it's up to you guys. You can either include folks on the next Spider Bio, BT meeting, or set up a BT meeting, or.
A closing
meeting
would be appropriate, and then we can come back and do.
Just having a way to pull them out, put them back in, and close
them. Arachnagary.
Sounds good.
What bird eats a spider?
TSP.
Program. I think you need bats.
We spoke about that briefly here.
That's a bugger in a cave.
I think what's outstanding here is a report that Bob Davidson's working up. I think that's scheduled for later this late fall, I think early December perhaps. But at that point, I think TSP is done for all intents and purposes with that effort. TSP is, however, moving on to providing support for the John Day Turbine Replacement Program. I think some of you folks are aware of that. So TSP is going to basically migrate in that direction, helping out EPA with some of these efforts, taking what we've learned at Ice Harbor and bringing that and incorporating that to the John Day activities. So that's kind of where we're at with TSP. So TSP has not gone away. We're still here. But it's, changing that. Thoughts, comments, concerns?
McNary. That should be part of it. I mean, McNary is before John Day.
Yeah. It is. TSP hasn't been, TSP from the Walla Walla site has been directly more involved than we have.
Right, but as a program, TSP. So you're just talking about TSP port.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not to say that the Walla Walla folks aren't engaged. As a matter of fact,
they are.
Mark Honor's part of the team.
Yeah. Yes, I've just seen TSP as being made really a. It
doesn't have the same boundaries. In
yeah, the boundaries really don't exist. It's both districts.
Right.
Question on that?
Yeah.
I think there's currently a line item on the Sierra County budget for TSP, is that correct?
Yeah, yes. Just to provide support for these other activities.
Okay, you're saying that in 2018 that might go away, so what would. Do you not need that line item anymore to continue the TSP?
No, it continues as long as you possibly can in the CRF program.
Okay. But if that goes away, does that kill the TSP program? Or
it's probably not going to go away. It'll just be significantly reduced.
Well, it'll be something. Say go away. I know that specifically. It said ends in 2018.
I've heard that several times.
Well, currently, that's what it says.
It's not even worth
saying. That's what it says currently.
Okay. I think so.
But you're not expecting that's. Okay.
No.
Good.
Are we done? will we be done? Are we going to have
there will be a 2018
well?
Buyout. You won't say
if
you're
there's
done.
Funding, TSP will be around. if the funding dries up, TSP will be prosecuted elsewhere. So I think that there's too much that we've learned, too much that we've gained, just to let it go. So we'll incorporate it where we can. And right now we see an opportunity at McNary, John Day, and certainly our
problem.
Yeah. Another question. So, and your guys' results seem to indicate that there's a substantial difference in hydraulics between the lower end of 1% and other ranges.
What was the problem?
I believe for Ice Harbor, isn't that true?
I didn't catch what you said, Trevor.
There's a difference in hydraulics between a lower end of 1%. It appears that there's...
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, but yes. We have, at Bonneville, we have some survival data. How do you incorporate those? Because survival data didn't really show much in terms of the difference, but the TSP observations suggest there is a difference. How do we meld those two together in terms of your report that you're putting out?
Are we talking Bonneville or are we talking other projects?
Bonneville.
Bonneville's unique with regards to its survival characteristics. It doesn't follow the norm.
There's reasons for that, too.
But my point is, Bonneville is different than what we see at the other projects on the farm. Right or wrong or different, it is
special
different.
Little snowflakes.
And the survival characteristics are different.
But, yeah, what Trevor's bringing up is a good point. I mean, we're looking at the characteristics of flow in these units to judge whether it's a good or a bad condition. We did a lot of that with Ice Harbor. if you look at the Bonneville model, which I just came back from looking at, you scratch your head because it looks pretty darn bad. But you look at the data, and the data wouldn't really reflect that pretty darn bad assessment, the biological data. So it's a bit of a head scratcher. There are reasons, though, I think, why you see that. But it's not as simple as, you know, what some people might think, or with black and white. So that's a good thing to have a discussion about somewhere down the road, I think. You know, I mean, how all that fits within what we're observing through TSP, what the biological data are telling us, you know, what's important, what's not important for turbine design. All those things, I think, are... Yeah, I think there's two things that came back from Bonneville, to slide into that discussion, from that Bonneville model discussion last week, was that at the lower end of 1%, it looks pretty hideous. And as you go up in flow, it starts to look better. If it was an unacceptable point, I would say the low end of 1% would be an unacceptable operation, and that, you know, we probably ought to consider at least limiting the amount of time that we spend running at that low end of 1%. That is reflected to some degree in the biological data. We saw that with the steelhead data, at the low end of the 1% from Mark Wireless data did show lower survival. It wasn't ridiculously low, and significance is an issue, but it was lower. And so, you know, there's a little bit of a reflection of the data in what we see in the model, but as you go up, we never saw a good condition in that model. I mean, it was definitely not what I would call what we would be designing for if we were designing a brand new turbine. So I mean, that's something that we probably should talk through a couple of things as a result of that model trip. One would be maybe a soft constraint in the low end of 1%, and the other is what do we take home and towards other design processes from the observations that we saw there, assuming, of course, that we were on camp.
No.
They assured us that we were.
And
but
the
I
other thing to
heard that wolf cry a few times.
You know what? You do have sensor fish data for both, say, John Day and Bonneville. You have sensor fish data, and there are some telling differences there as well that I think also you want to bring into your discussion as to why Bonneville is different. There's some definite information in there as well as to why Bonneville is a different project.
Yeah, well, there's a pressure issue that I haven't really seen yet. I'd like to see, because the Plant Sigma at that project is different from any other. You've got a very deep runner relative to tailwater, particularly at higher tailwaters. So that's a factor that we haven't really looked at very carefully. I don't know how that compares to other dams. And then the tail race is being a manufactured tail race versus a natural tail race, if there is such a thing, is conducive to good egress conditions. It's very difficult looking at the tail race of Bonneville, second powerhouse, to see the boils, the turbine boils, because they just really don't show up. They're mostly going downstream. Look at the first powerhouse, you can definitely count 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 right across there. But second powerhouse, you don't see that, and there's a lot of other issues there too. But I think fish get out of there better, and that matters. So those are a couple of things. And that's at Ice Harbor, what we try to do is design draft tubes such that we got that kind of egress condition as well. So that's part of the design process for new turbines, is to try to emulate that to the extent that we can. But anyway, that's the two topics I would talk about, I guess, really, were, you know, that lower end of 1% and then what this means for observations for future design turbines.
Trevor's question is profound. Unfortunately, there's not a profound answer to it.
He's a profound kind of guy.
One of the biggest challenges we make these
history.
We do these studies, and we come up with these findings. But how do we get them? Case in point, and a lot of folks around the table are influential in terms of what we incorporated in the data. We have a BIT report that identifies issues and concerns and recommendations that, quite frankly, are not being implemented. A case in point is, we got the bid, a lot of screens. Well, there's been recommendations to that effect. But is everybody on board, based on the data that TSP's provided, to start pulling screens?
No, absolutely not.
But anyway, so to Trevor's point, I think that question
never
I would have heard that you keep asking, and we'll try to keep asking.
I'm going to suggest we take a 5-minute break. Come back to it. Just to verify, Lori, did you have anything else you for the Bonneville Spillway update? I think we kind of covered that.
We covered it.
Okay. All right.
Really? That fast?
Yep.
We missed it.
I only missed 8 minutes of the meeting.
Let's cover that one again.
Well,
so.
Then let's not leave until we've covered that one again.
Okay.
Let's go over that one more carefully.
Let's do it.
Because that's a big deal.
Yes.
We'll do that.
Can we do it before?
Yes. I need a break.
You want to do it before break? Okay, we do that.
Oh, that's cool.
Charles
chair this. I need recycling.
Use chair power.
There's chili and chips and cornbread back here too, everybody.
What is it?
Chili?
Really?
Yeah.
Real food?
Tammy, really? Oh, that's worse. That's worse.
Good chili. Yeah, I got second in our chili cook-off last year.
Yeah, I bet it's good.
In the
that's
floor?
What I don't want to eat. I'll probably get hurt.
Two guys?
Huh?
Two people?
No. I don't want to spend that much time in the bathroom later.
Hey,
I'm Mike Trout.
Shake your hand. Oh, it's that time of year. Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's the best range for fish as far as so when they go to the study turbines, that one thing I've noticed is they also have from the model, only there's less turbines. The mid-range. Depending on the turbines. But then in reality, you go out and see, are we actually seeing
cilantro?
What
Lambrecht project.
It is very good.
I can warn you that it's not like a
good.
But we didn't really get it anywhere.
Sounds like an interesting project.
Yes. It'd be fun if I could get all the wallets and go back into their right
spots.
It is going to be a
I was wishing we were going to go down there. You guys are going to be down there.
We should get money now. Just got on. And I've already got 720 for
I should be happy to know that we have flights. We have no guests. They're all 737. All the ones I was on last week were 737. The discussion about stretch. Bigger
whistle. Nicer seats. You can probably turn down the crock pot. It's going some way hot.
Moving now. Using headphones. But they changed the time. So Kevin Ross was the first flight on that one.
So Kevin Ross screaming at
once. I was on that one.
You should have said that's not on the job order. This is not FBAR.
Overall,
but Brad did make chili, so there's that matters.
Yeah.
Holy cayenne, man. You like the cayenne?
No, sure.
Yeah, I didn't have any cayenne pepper.
Well, paprika? Paper from here, and I'm just going to stand up here.
So I got some sort of.
It's got cilantro.
I know cilantro.
I just want to know.
I make my salsa and put some kind of half tomatoes. My sauce has got cilantro. It's got the red chili pepper, dried red chili pepper.
Barneville has a project that's dealing with major rehab or major maintenance. Mm-hmm. We have gone through and we've looked at all of the features that are at the project, and the reports should be done momentarily, next couple of weeks.
Okay.
But that's only identifying the features and saying what features need fall under what categories. So for I will tell you all, and there are a couple that are, I have a little bit of the pepper.
Yes.
A little bit of the ones that are of more interest to you all. So for the major maintenance, and major...
You're going to kill her, Brad.
Actually, Scott, water. Thank you. Okay, for a major maintenance, the Corps has interesting categories, but the major maintenance really says it's 2 years of construction or less, or there's a dollar limit, and whatever the rules are, and they'll probably change, but anyway, we have rules. So major maintenance, the things that we have put under that category is basically the ladders. Actually, let's start over. We elevated Cascade Island ladder to something that we need to get to more quickly than waiting for a major maintenance or a major rehab report. And the reason for that is because of the sinkholes, which is why you all saw that they're going to be digging out there next week.
Not sinkholes. Okay.
You can put a car into it. It's a sinkhole.
Actually, you can put a crane in.
So, and what we don't want to do is put a crane into it, and we need to be able to maintain the ladder. So we've elevated that to something that we need to address sooner than a major maintenance. The rest of the ladders we have put under major maintenance because, at the very least, we need to update controls and valves and get the ladder back to where it needs to be. So the ladders are under major maintenance. Miter gates at the new nav lock are under major maintenance. The swing bridge between the old nav lock swing bridge is major maintenance. The spillway is major rehab. And the stumbling block on the spillway is what queue does that spillway need to pass? So what is the design flow? And the project right now can pass about 1 million without splitting gates and going through all sorts of gymnastics. They can pass about 1 million. It's authorized, and that's an important word in Bonneville's language, to pass 1.6 million. And part of that is Bonneville was built before we have a PMF. Probable maximum floods are typically what we design projects to today. The Columbia River PMF was last updated in 1969, and for the Dalles, it's 2.1 million CFS. We cannot pass that at Bonneville. So we've got this quandary, what queue do we design it for?
But doesn't water go away between the Dalles and Bonneville?
Excuse me?
Evaporate
when you look at the model.
No, it doesn't work that way. Sorry. So the big unknown at Bonneville for the spillway, it is major rehab. But until you know what the queue is, you don't know which direction you're going. In addition to the work we're doing, Bonneville is in an IES, Issues Evaluation Study. And that's our dam safety folks, the Risk Management Center. And they've initiated a study that's going to kick off in FY16 on Bonneville. They always look at a PMF. They're interested in life loss associated with what happens if we put a PMF by Bonneville. But this is also the first project that our Risk Management Center is going to incorporate the economic impact associated with a large flood event and losing things. Because recognize, if you lose Bonneville Dam, you lose power generation at Bonneville, that's kind of peanuts compared to the Dalles, because you lose the Dalles too. The Dalles comes offline. We lose all fish passage upstream, because none of the ladders at the Dalles will work.
Which is poorly.
Well, that's, that happens too. And
they don't really care about that.
But those are the things that they've never incorporated into their analysis before. Mm. So we don't know if the IES would come back with the 2.1 million. So recognize that if we could split the gates at Bonneville, get the gates out of the flow, we could only pass 1.4 million. Where are we going to put 0.8 million CFS?
Corner collector?
The parking lot.
The new one.
Well, if we're going to have to build some new spillway, don't we make a new spillway that meets our environmental obligation in a much more efficient way than it does now? Mm-hmm. So, what the major rehab study for the spillway is going to kick off is a concept study, a concept, not a study, a concept of what we would do if we only have to pass a million, what we have to do if it's 1.6, and what we have to do if it's 2.1. And what does it look like? And does the 1.6 and 2.1 marry together? And then if they marry together, the major rehab will continue for Bonneville as the IS does it work.
I think property value in Stevenson just went up.
So that's where Bonneville is. The reports and that those summaries should be available in the next month-ish. That's where...
Will be sent out to this group for...
We can make them available to this group.
Would be good, yes.
And our path forward is going to be probably fairly well summarized come close to the 1st of December. And that will come out, too.
But you're talking about some work in 2040?
It's out there.
2050?
But if you're going to be designing Fish Passage, we'd like to have some...
If I can come up with a concept that marries 1.6 and you can get all the way to 2.1 and the part that we want to build first is the fish-friendly part, major rehab may move out. Maybe. I have a concept in my head that might work.
I know you do.
Do you have a drawing like Gary has?
Actually, I have more than a few drawings.
Where's my drawing?
Yes, you had, somebody had a question.
Yeah, I did. It's okay. I'm closer to that. Limit
on
Ohio is a close 600,500.
In 1948, the project passed a 1,048,000. The largest flow that in 1957, Bonneville passed 827. In 1958, it was 727. And there's a 74 in there, it was 780. But in general, right now, the largest flow we passed in 96, 97, which is probably the most comparable numbers, 680. The flooding in Portland was Willamette based. Columbia didn't help it any, but the real flooding in 1948 was 1,048,000.
Yeah, and then from that we have a.
Yeah, that was
well, and the whole treaty is
being discussed.
Very useful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, does that affect your maximum number that they estimate? That, you know, the treaty and all the dams that are in place now, or is that number still just based on how much water comes into the region?
Most dam safety studies. Most. Bonneville's at the tail end of a whole lot of stuff, so it could change. But for most projects, we don't consider regulated for the design flood. So regulated is what happens because of all the other dams that are on the system. I don't think Bonneville will fall out that way, personally. The issue that we have is to get to a new PMF, probable maximum flood for Bonneville, you don't get to do that without doing the whole Columbia River Basin. Mm-hmm. And when we've redone floods across the nation, typically we've seen an increase in the probable maximum flood, notionally, a little bit, 10%. We have a project where it went from 70,000 to 500,000. That's not a little bit. And we've had projects that have gone down a little bit. I anticipate when it's done, and I don't know anything, the PMF will be close to what it is now. It's going to be different, but it's not going to be 3 million. It's going to be 2 something. Really? Maybe 2.2, 2.3, maybe 1.9. It's not going to be 1.6.
That's going to drive you down that path of something new then. That's okay. Good.
I can get you new concrete that's better for fish.
Yep. That's right. That's what I see. Whatever drives you that way is
hopefully we still have
fine with me.
Hopefully we still have
fish. Still like.
Sorry for the people who were supposed to be in the room.
Thanks, Lori. So you wait for
thank you.
Performance study until after that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You want to kind of get just a general schedule kind of
yeah.
Where we are. So we're going to pivot to Lamprey here. Talk about minor mods first.
Yeah, there's two Lamprey passage projects that we're working on. Minor fishway mods, as the name implies, is sort of adjustments within existing fishways to address impediments to Lamprey passage. So things like diffuser plating, rounded entrance weirs, things of that nature. We've been chipping away at that over the last couple of years, and for both of these Lamprey passage projects, there's a major focus on design in 16 and 17 and construction during the 2016-2017 work windows and the 2017-2018 work windows. These are part of CRFM, and so we're trying to really sort of be tapering down in fiscal year 18, not really building any new things at that point, but just making sure that what we have on the ground is working and there aren't any major issues with it. So for the minor fishway mods project, the focus of the team in the first half of this fiscal year is on Washington Shore at Bonneville, and really a whole range of actions out there, finishing the installation of the entrance weir caps, installing diffuser plating, some minor things around the adult fish facility and the counting window. Those will probably be constructed by the project. And then maybe of most interest to this group is some modifications to the serpentine section. Trying to emulate some of the work that Walla Walla has done of building orifices through those serpentine weirs to provide a straight path for lamprey. I think you may have seen some earlier concept drawings mm-hmm. at Bradford Island. That work got tabled, and so we're shifting emphasis to Washington Shore. The other piece of the serpentine section mods is conceptual sort of pilot installation of refuge boxes, which would be mounted on the floor of the fishway and provide a place for lamprey to hang out while they're figuring out how to make the next move. On those serpentine section mods, they're new to the lower Columbia, and so we're intending to do some video monitoring of that. And one thing we'd like to talk about today or at the next meeting is, you know, it would make most sense for us, given our schedule, to go ahead and do a complete build out of those orifices through the serpentine weirs. Go ahead and install all those orifices, which are really just sort of 1.5 by 16 inch plus or minus slots in the bottom of the weir. Build those all out while we have a contractor mobilized and on site, and then temporarily block all but a couple of them so that they're not really actively affecting the dynamics of the fishway, so that we can, with the couple that are open, that's where we would focus our video monitoring and determine whether there's any adverse effects on salmon passage. The refuge boxes are a new concept, and we would not be doing a full build out of the refuge boxes. We would propose to build somewhere on the order of 6 or 8 of them. They'd be in the vicinity of that video monitoring, and we'd want to look at those from both the fisheries perspective and an O&M perspective in terms of dewatering the ladder and cleaning it out, make sure they don't cause an undue burden from an O&M perspective. I'll just kind of stop there for a second.
I think that's it. Yeah. So that last question is kind of a departure. We've been talking about a phased approach, and this is still the current plan would be that, you know, we just cut a couple of orifices at Washington Shore, similar to what we had planned to do at Bradford Island, just in the last couple of weeks, we were just talking about, hey, given the schedule impacts and that we can't be building anything in the winter of 18-19, anything new, and we're already going to have that contractor on site, like Mike mentioned, it may make more sense, both financially and also just, you know, in terms of ease of, it's probably not all that complicated to grout these in if we do see an issue versus, you know, fabricating the inserts and installing the orifices. So it's just a concept that we're working on right
now.
That's
fine. Now we go in reverse if we have to. The thing I'm most concerned about is the change from Bradford Island issue, the wetted wall one, from Bradford to Wash the Shore. I'm not too happy with that. So we'd like to have some more discussion.
Just because of the volume of fish?
Yep. If you're going to test something, I'd rather you tested it in the lab that wasn't quite as heavily used.
So what stopped that from going forward like that?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know who was on the distribution for those decisions, but we had a cost in between our 30 and 60% design report for the LPS project, which we'll talk about next. We had a cost increase, and so within the.
Was John involved? Was Richard involved in that?
Yeah, it was John was the one that said we need to spend more on it.
Or to the Dalles.
So, program-wide, we had to look at the whole lamprey program, and we adjusted accordingly. Especially 16 is a really, really tight budget for the whole program.
Thanks for
yeah. So there are a few things that had to change.
And that's
the
one.
That was the
we didn't
primary.
Really talk really in detail primary. About what the priorities and the other options for that. I haven't been involved in that conversation, so
we generally work with the tribes on kind of priorities within the program, and report out as changes are made.
Using the hell that thing on.
Just to make noise.
Just to make noise. Okay.
Just close the close that
sure.
That slide right there. Yeah.
No, it's a fan.
So for your cutouts, you're planning on doing all the cutouts, and then you're going to block them initially, or are you going to leave them open and test them?
Well, again, our current plan is actually not to do the full build-out, full cutout. We're just, this idea is just in the last week or two.
Oh.
We're talking about it in light of the schedule changes.
So you're still looking at just doing two, but you might change it.
It would be right. Cost is mob and remob on these kind of contracts.
Yeah, it would probably make more sense to just cut them and do it.
You have to go back
plan
in
on grouting
in
2 years later if you have issues.
That's something the project can probably do.
It's not too expensive. You might be able to put like a slide plate with the rod.
Yeah. I know there were issues with what was done at McNary with the mechanical closures.
The other one, I have your gate, though. You're talking about a little tiny thing.
It's worth looking at.
You got pretty good head on that. You got
two
pools full of head on that, so
yeah,
that's going to cause it to be a little hard to pull up and down.
So I guess what I'm hearing at this point is that it's something that you guys are comfortable with us figuring out
that's
a way
not a
to
problem.
Do it.
No, I'm more concerned with just all the stuff that we're putting into the Washington Shore Ladder. That's a concern. Ed and I were talking about that this morning, and I don't know if he's still on the phone or not, but we just, you know, with the two new LPS chutes in there. with a rock way, and then you're talking about cutting these orifices and putting in the wetted wall and all that stuff.
All in the same winter.
Yeah, that's got me a little concerned. That's a major passage.
You saw a problem, you would know which one to take out.
I don't want to see a problem. Yeah. You know, that's the lead ladder I don't want to see a problem in, ever. So, you know, if we were going to test something, I'd rather test it somewhere else and then decide whether it, you know, works for lamprey before we go that major passage route at Bonneville Dam. And the wetted wall one kind of took me a bit by surprise because that has been an issue with us in the past. And willing to try it. Bradford, I'm not so sure I want to see that. I don't even know where you're talking about it. Washington Shore.
It's essentially the analogous location.
Mm-hmm. It's just a
would it be above the pump station in that current area? Yeah.
And the thing about the wetted wall, though, is that, I mean, we can, you know, that would have a video study with it and everything, right? And if we saw any issues, we can just shut the water off. That was kind of the nice thing about that design. That was kind of the intent anyway, right? It's just essentially a flat plate.
But you're putting it now in a place with a whole lot of other stuff going on, as well as visitors and everything else in there. And you've got the two new entrances that you're talking about putting in there and the walkway for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the level of activity is going to be associated with that kind of thing. So I'm just saying that it seems like a lot of stuff in one ladder. That's primary passage route at that dam. A bit surprised. I mean, I'd okay with it at Bradford. Give it a try and see what it looks like. But putting a lot of stuff in Washington Shore is kind of tipping. I think Ed said this morning, death by a thousand cuts. It's just
maybe one thing you want to do is like put out where all the stuff's going to go, what's going to be required on it, so Gary can be either more or less comfortable with that. Because
right, lay it all out.
Yeah, well, this is just, I think, in your comments on our SRWG is where I first heard about it. So that's the first time I'd heard that you'd gone from Bradford to Washington Shore. Mm-hmm. First time I'd heard about it.
Well, that's about when we made that switch. Right.
So, yeah, so it's a little bit raw, I guess, at this point. I have no idea where you're going with that, but, you know, location-wise. You know,
so do you need a decision on anything today?
No, I think we got good feedback on the orifice question. With respect to minor mods, the wetted wall test would be through SRWG for next year's cycle, so we can talk more. I understand your concern. You know, one possibility is to delay that and just test it at Bradford. We were planning to do both locations. So
that's a bit of a surprise to me too. I guess I haven't focused on that. So.
Well, the concept is the same.
I mean, I guess it should make sense.
Ladders,
if
you're
if
trying
you see
to
it
reduce.
Works, that's different. If I had information that said, hey, this is great for Lamprey, this
right.
really works.
So we have a kind of a three or four pronged approach. So short of gutting the serpentine weirs and starting over with a new design, we kind of have a three or four pronged approach here, which is try to divert Lamprey away from the serpentine weirs by putting in the new LPS, doing the line of orifices to, you know, have more better directionality and give them another option for passage. And then the refuge box concept is to try and retain them in that section because we see a lot of turnaround.
Down at the end, that your mega million-dollar machine down there. So
right.
You've got a lot of things you put in the wash shore ladder. I haven't seen a lot of information that suggests that any of it works. And so I guess maybe that's where I'm at a little bit. Is let's, before we shotgun this thing to pieces, let's make sure some of this stuff is actually helping Lamprey before we risk family.
Meeting just on this one, so indeed. I was okay with it, but I think we need to sit down. I was also, it was a lot to try to digest, and I try to keep track of where is everything, how, problem that. I would also like to see like a work plan, like, because the activity issue does become a bit of a concern, so like what activities are going to go on, how much like operational maintenance, how many times are people, there's no guys going to check things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of stuff is going to make Gary, his nerve, you can put some Novocaine on it and he might get less touchy.
Probably not.
He's grumpy.
Yeah, it's really, you're right. It's really a matter of pulling it all together and kind of presenting that all in one place for a specific suite of actions. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, I can do that.
Because, I mean, the reason I was worried with the wedding walls, I mean, if we don't do it this year, it gets pushed out to 16 at Bradford at best, winter of 16, and that's optimistic. And then by funding,
that would be your winter
at Bradford.
Yeah, if we were we'd have to wait at least a year.
It'd be the winter of 17-18 that we'd be installing this at Bradford.
And the problem is that our funding for Lamprey stuff runs out.
That's what's driving
right
the
about
schedule,
the,
right?
17 is kind of our last big year for funding, so if we don't, and right now, McNary doesn't seem to be running awesome. Maybe things will change. I don't know.
No.
We still haven't gotten a full test of the Lamprey flume at Washington Shore. We've never been able to test it at full hydraulic capacity to know if that's actually going to be functional.
I understand. Yeah.
And we're desperately trying to find some options that might be working, because I think it's starting to look more and more like yeah, maybe entrances are a little more important than we first thought. And these inner lab, inner ladder issues are also important, so.
Well, I'm just a little concerned of that. It's a little bit of a shotgun approach the way I see it. I'm not seeing a lot of benefit yet. And I'm not saying no to the new LPS ramps. I'm not saying no to the orifices or all the things we're doing with the entrance. But that wetted wall just seemed to me like a little bit over the top for this one, for now.
I mean, the other reason I was more interested in the wetted walls, that's the most new concept that's not untested. These other ones are somewhat tested. We have some information on
the wetted walls. It's not at that particular
location. Exactly.
Yeah. What about doing the LPS and the orifices on Washington Shore and then doing the wetted wall at Bradford?
That's fine. Yeah, that spreads that risk.
Give you a little bit of a test, anyways. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we just talked about if not more.
So, I mean, that's what we were going to do. I'm okay with that, you know, after we have some discussion, SRW issue, the whole process of it. Just throwing everything in the one ladder when that ladder is our primary passage.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it makes sense.
Just need to ease him into it. Don't just throw it all in at once. God, you know he's getting old and crotchety.
You should see all the stuff we didn't do.
Thank God.
Didn't tell me about
no, we didn't.
The lamprey cannon. I mean,
whoosh, whoosh.
Right, the solution.
Just get those lamprey into it.
Yeah.
I talked to them.
Speaking of Kool Aid.
They'll talk to anybody.
We'll be trying to award this work sometime in July as part of a bigger contract
really?
With the Lamprey Passage structure. So I think there'll be some opportunities for a review over the next few months as we develop plans and specs.
For sure.
And then just on the orifices, the ones that we build but then block off, we've thought about the mechanical concept, and that'll be something we can kind of explore a little bit more. But another concept that we're looking at right now that is a lot simpler is just putting sandbags over them in the near term while we're testing and video monitoring the other ones.
Be careful though. We tried to see the problem is we had some experience with this. They were talking like cinder blocks at McNary, and they started looking more around. I was like, oh crap, that's not going to work.
Yeah. It's going to move.
It will shift and move.
They will move.
Like that.
Or rot and disintegrate.
And then you'll have Gary all over your stuff, and you don't want that. You really don't want that.
There can be sandbags
really
of ropes to the surface.
Yeah. But I will make you my project. And I have that kind of time.
Yes. Yeah, that in the notes.
That is not a threat. That is a promise.
There's the Spanish Inquisition, and then there's Gary. So take your pick.
Anyway, we'll put some ideas together. Be sure that we talk with Walla Walla.
Yeah.
In fact, they might be designing this.
Yeah, they are.
Really not.
Okay.
That's why they probably said sandbags.
More bold.
Okay, and then on the Lamprey Passage Structure project, the focus this year is also on Washington Shore. There's a couple elements there. One is trying to do some fixes to that lamprey fling system in the sail race area. So installing an air manifold to address the entrained air issue, and then installing some plates within the flume to address a velocity barrier within the climbing section. So that'll be work over the tail race. We need to kind of talk about the work window with some other folks, but probably during October of 2016, during the low tail water, and then some folks working on that lamprey flume system. The other major element of the LPS project is, as Gary mentioned, the new ramps and traversing section and access platform upstream from the UMT junction. And that's what's shown on the drawings here. Brent's been a key player on that. And I guess we can kind of talk through it, Brent or Sean. Yeah.
I think in general, the reason why we don't have, you know, a package for you guys to review yet. So as I sent out, I think a couple of weeks ago, and this is a updated version of what I sent a few weeks ago. We just want to make sure, because we have a tight design schedule, that we are aware of folks' concerns, design suggestions, etc., as we put this together. So what you see here is kind of the current layout, and I don't know, Brent can probably describe it better than me. You know, some of the features that, as I mentioned, I think in that email, was staggering the ramps so that, you know, they're not directly across from each other, right? The platform would be grading, if you asked about that. We talked about shaping on the upstream. I don't think it's really reflected in this sketch right here, but shaping on the upstream side of the ramps so that, you know, it's not just 90 degrees to the flow. And Schlenker's has some concepts laid out for that. Trying to think of other design elements that we were thinking on this to kind of address any concerns.
Sorry,
hey, there's Schlenker.
Speaking of Schlenker.
Does Schlenker have design? Hey, look at, wow, that was timely.
The traversing frame for the major portion of it, using the a round pipe that taking the clue from Cascades Island, where they seem to drop in passage this year. And I'm not sure if that is because of other modifications or if that is because maybe they don't like the smell of the glue and the adhesive for the PVC pipe. Who knows? But aluminum seems to be well accepted. So we are looking to use 10 to 12 inch aluminum irrigation piping. So that has the advantage of already having fittings and couplings are readily available.
So this is the middle section.
The middle section. Plus there's all, you know, the pipe supports. It's all more off-the-shelf kind of items. That makes it a lot easier for assembly and fabrication.
So that's...
That's for the traversing section.
This
up here.
Section,
195.
Yeah. Right there.
Up above deck level.
Above this deck, is, it's going,
yeah,
to
not the stuff down here. That's that would be. Sure. This would look a lot. This
like
would look
already
essentially identical to what the LPSs you've seen.
So the climbing sections are still rectangular in shape, except for the submerged section will have a flow control surface to make things a little bit more hydrodynamic.
Later. That's what Steve just said.
Okay.
Right, and then a new addition, I guess, would be the upwelling box. And adding to it or combining the idea of a head box to it. So the water is supplied and they have a control weir on one side of it to a drain on the other side, a notched weir, so that we can read the notched weir and know how much flow we are putting into the LFS, the Lender Passage System, which should be a little bit of an improvement for future design.
There's currently a little bit of an art to adjusting these things.
And so that'll be helpful there for adjusting the amount of flow going down it. There's been expressed interest in staying with the 3-horsepower well casing pumps so that there's fewer types of pumps out of it too.
Fully screened.
The same location too.
Similar location for the screening. We were had been thinking of putting a small trapezoidal shape between the, I guess it's a trash rack, at the upstream end of the MUWS between the trash rack and the flow control valve. So in that intake area.
That channel is called the makeup water supply channel.
Oh, okay, MUWS.
Yeah, that was a new one to me.
Sometimes called the CWS, but
MUWS. Right. So the top end of the MUWS, cool.
The MUWS.
With fry criteria.
The MUWS.
And it basically makes a wet well for us so that we can drop the two existing pumps needed and then the two additional pumps for the new system. Having that many pumps, I guess the thought has been to just maintain some redundancy in the system. So even if the new system side goes down, we still have the old one up and running. If you lose one pump, it's not a big deal. And then slightly different configurations on the fikes. Notice that in the existing systems, the fike, the exit to it tends to be centered with the upstream side. So if there's a chance for electrolytic coasting backwards, falling back, has greater likelihood of hitting that opening and even fall back through the fike. The idea is to move those off to the side so there's less chance of being able to accidentally flow back through the fikes. The ends of the fikes will also be in slots so that you can tweak them and do little adjustments up and down to help you control on a micro level the water level at that point.
Got all that, Gary?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So, hope it works.
So I think we also had some drawings of the platform. Do we want to?
Yeah, it's somewhat integrated onto this, but
so the platform, in order to provide access where it needs to and meet safety requirements, is a little bit larger than we thought it would be. But it is, I guess, the design we have has it at around 13 by 15 feet over the ladder. I know that's a concern. What would the operations on that look like?
Well, Nathan was saying that they've been checking the LPSs every 2 days, but you can expect someone to be down there checking rest boxes maybe once per day, once every couple of days. And then, of course, during dewatering.
Okay, that is an issue.
Make sure that
what's
it made out of?
Steel.
Steel walkway grating, yeah.
Galvanized. Zinc
coated.
There you go.
Do you want light or do you care?
You want it slotted. You don't want shade.
Yeah.
Slot.
So you don't want it solid. You want it. So you do it in what?
It'll be open grating.
Yeah. Well,
is it open grating? That's a good question.
Is that
treated?
You wouldn't really be bringing anything down here unless you got a board.
Shouldn't be unless you pull something out of your pocket and drop your bill card or something. You know.
You're on the same risk of doing that.
Anyway. Yeah, it just makes sense to be slotted, and it makes sense to keep people off of there as much as possible.
Yeah, there would be no reason for people to be down there unless they were just doing it as part of like an inspection.
Yeah, that's keep it to inspections and whatever is necessary for maintenance. To
Brian out there with his
whipping the lamprey up the.
The location of the platform is basically halfway from the water surface to the elevation of the traversing plume. And the traversing plume was set for
landing net.
For having clearance for maintenance to be able to walk through the parapet wall to get to what do we have out there. We have the ladder that goes down by the picket leads. We've got a walkthrough to go to the container valve, and we've got a walkthrough to access the ladder there. So, rather than having ops duck below that, every time I'm just raised to that. Sorry.
Thoughts? Concerns beyond?
You've got mine, I sent it to you. I'd like to see the more finished drawings.
Right.
That was just need your first look.
Okay.
I'll go back over and see if he's our lamprey guy, so no.
Sounds good.
All's good.
So the question I have is the walkway, is that just for, is that, I'm not sure it's necessary because you guys know what you're doing, but.
Appreciate that, Brian.
That vote of confidence was stellar.
I think you know what you're...
I was kind of thinking the same thing, Brian. So this is...
So the walkway is just to...
Thank you.
So we can access, you guys can access pumps and
resting boxes. This is purely for the rest box. The rest boxes that are at that elevation. So you have a climbing section from the fishway floor to a rest box. Anytime we have a rest box, we have a couple that we have a pneumatic valve on that we can flush in case we think maybe there might be a more. But having that inspection capability is something for long haul that we really need.
So there's no need to, there's no way to access it without... Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like the walkway is really a big deal as long as it's slotted and open and it's not causing shearing.
The alternative would have been, I guess, although we didn't spend much time talking about this because I think it would have been another question, is to have a platform on each side, right? But on the other side, you have the visitor center and everything, and you'd be opening up more issues potentially over there. I may have missed more discussion on that concept.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
This is Edmar. I'm concerned. It's too much access around a critical area of the ladder. There's too much. It's going to be too much activity down there.
It's going to have to be limited. Probably just.
You put all these things in, and the next thing if they do stay in, you're accessing them once, twice a day. How the researchers look at that, and they think, we can hang radio antennas off of this stuff and whatnot. It just leads from one thing to the next, and it's, I don't know, Gary, I'm not comfortable with this.
Yeah, I was just thinking of putting a no crit fit allowed sign right on the gate.
Do you want a gate outside?
Do you think it's going to be a problem, Brian?
I don't really
limiting access
an issue with it.
With signage or something? Like, do not.
It needs people can't
authorize personnel.
Lock it.
I mean, we could get a special key that only fisheries has, and problem solved.
Nope. That'll lock it.
I mean, we only check those rest spots every so often, or if we think there's a morgue.
That's so. Okay. It's just down the road. Trevor will need to watch this one.
It just seems like our
since you've got that
points all over those ladders. And there's gates there, and if the gate's there...
Not in the ladder.
Not like that.
I mean, up to, other than what you've done on the count windows and whatnot.
Yeah, there's not...
There's pretty
much the ladder.
People walking around...
Except in the serpentine weir section, because of the pit array up there.
Yeah. But that's not a limited
area. I mean, it's bad enough up
there.
That's
what this would be like.
Well, that's the question, is what's better, a walkway or two platforms? And having minimal access on the visitor side. I mean, what would you guys be happy with here?
What's that?
Would you be happy with just two platforms on the side and not a walkway?
I don't care about the walkway. Just limit access to it. You just don't want people out there walking around willy-nilly.
There'd be no reason for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Other than Gary.
That one, I mean, the one...
And we could have specific signage.
No, Gary.
Explain why. So that you
they're
don't have some curious operator or something decide, hey, I just want to see what's going on with the fish.
I will have the key.
Yes.
I think we could address that.
Nathan will give me the key. That's not me I'm worried about once a month.
It's a valid concern, Ed.
Okay.
Padlock it. And don't give Tom the key.
Or Gary.
I don't care about me. I don't need
He walks around quietly.
I won't be on it.
So our next steps on this is the team is wrapping up the 90% DDR this week. And then should be ready for agency review pretty shortly after that.
Okay.
And then we'll be moving ahead trying to get through 90% plans and specs by mid-December, so agency review on those, and maybe an interim milestone as well, just kind of an in-progress snapshot sometime in early November. But then the 90% plans and specs around the new year, and then the final set of plans and specs towards the end of March, and awarding the contract sometime in July to allow time for fabrication prior to the start of construction in the fall, October or so, 2016. Once we get past that, we're going to immediately, once we get past the award, the team's going to immediately begin working on the DDR for the improvements at Bonneville and John Day North, as well as some O&M upgrades at the Cascades Island LPS. So nothing new in the ladder at Cascades Island, but some piping improvements, electrical improvements, things of that nature.
When do you plan to install this? Did you say October?
Well, so the Lamprey flume system work would be during the low tail water of October of 16. So the overwater work off the side of the wall there on the north ladder. And then the new ramps and all the other stuff, including the surfacing section, minor modifications, that'd be during the winter work window of 2016-2017.
There's no way PAC's passage by working in October.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about that with that FPOM group, but it's really, you know, we'll have to have that conversation.
That's good.
We're aware of the issues during construction. One of the solutions that we were looking at, I guess, well, I wasn't at that meeting, so you can maybe speak to some of the ideas that. Guys
right.
Are floating for constructability.
So, you know, I think portions of this will require a man basket over the wall, but then, so this is on the Lamprey flume system. A lot of the work, we envision it would be done by roped climbers, kind of dangling off the wall and clambering over the flume system. Probably a safety boat, maybe some operational changes to achieve the tailwater elevation.
Good luck. Come on, you love those. Can you do it at night?
I mean, if they're already dangling and clambering.
With our ninjas?
For a couple of reasons. The tailwater will be down lower at night. Yeah. The fish don't pass at night.
Yeah.
You can just... Yeah. I know it's a pain in the ass to work at night, but it's...
I'm just saying, if you've got rope climbers that you don't like that.
I know, and they don't like have all kinds of things.
Well, we can get people from Greenpeace.
Yeah, get them there. They're hanging off the bridge.
Over there, also. Yeah. Tell them they're going to start drilling.
One key difference between this and right, you know, the initial installation type work is we're not talking about needing to like support the weight of the flume on the outside. It's basically how do you access this hatch that's on the side of the flume, you know, that gets into the tailwater elevation, and how do you do that while minimizing the impact on normal operations? So that's the...
But both normal ops, I mean, I'm just anticipating the FPOM pushback on
cooking
within the ladder practically during the fish.
Probably not so much.
Right.
So, yeah, in water work period.
But they need a tailwater. Then, so I can see the trade-off. That's why the nighttime potential maybe... Not favorite time. We're really late.
Right.
In the
afternoon. You need tailwater. What
you need a low tailwater to get in.
Right.
This is the.
Well, this is the flume system on the wall.
So downstream,
right? But
down at the bottom.
Do you want to have the
north downstream?
The ladder entrance. Yeah, the north downstream entrance. So we're talking about the one of the access hatches on the flume itself. We can probably try to dig up an image so I can
point
to it.
It's probably a
10.
This is outside. Okay. This is not in the ladder. Then.
It's on the outside.
No, it's on the outside of the ladder, but...
Downstream,
how much
over the entrance?
Yeah, that's not a problem. I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about inside the ladder. I didn't do the jump cut with you guys from there to the entrance.
And we don't have it. I mean, we have design concepts right now. We don't even have a design, so...
So bring it to FPOM and we'll hash it over.
I don't see it's probably...
You'll be dealing with the same people you do here.
As things congeal.
We'll look slightly different, maybe less projective. No.
The trouble is the constructability of it.
Yeah.
And trying to accommodate that in the design. And that's going to be a real challenge and limiting. There's just no way we're going to be able to, you know, remove the handrails and deck over the old ladder, the entrance ladder again.
ladder with the cranes on it. Be able to afford bringing in bark on these cranes. It's just, yeah, that's not within, well, within reason right now.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, if you do it before November, before chump starts, you'll get, you know, the tailwaters you'll
want. Yeah, be low.
Once you get around November 1st, you're running out of time. So, yeah. If you need to bowl below 11.5 or wherever you're going.
Yeah, that's the.
Depends for how low and how long.
Well, 11.5 is always your bottom.
Yeah.
But after. Yeah, you don't want to dewater too long. Yeah.
But that's the hope. Between October, you can get tailwaters down at 8.5.
As long as it doesn't rain.
Yeah, as long as it's like this.
Yeah. So this, I mean, we even had 12 the other day. I mean, so you can get higher.
That's the upper hatch. We're talking about using the lower, right?
That's familiar.
No, it's about accessing the top hatches there.
Oh, the top. Okay.
So it is those hatches.
So this is, yeah, this is on the north wall of the north downstream entrance outside. I'm not worried about it.
As long as they're not dripping oil in the water.
Yeah.
So the idea for accessing or that we've thrown out is to put just small jib crane across the top of the fish ladder, similar to what's used to pull out the pumps for the LPS system up there.
So on the deck, not
on the deck. Those little red cranes are rated for
right around, you know, somewhere
500 pounds. The hatches are 70 pounds. So the guy in the rope goes down and opens it up, you know, secures it. Guy from the top of the wall raises it up. About, you know, we replace the perf plates and that kind of stuff inside with slightly different configurations and reverse the process and add the air manifold on top as we put it back together.
Yeah, as long as you don't drop stuff in the water, bang, and not get a bunch of noise and stuff.
It works, big issue. This time.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, then. It's going to be a whole other conversation. So.
Yes.
So just FYI on this flume system, another issue we're working on right now is you may have heard that one of those hatches on the flume came off. It wasn't designed to do that. So we're working on a, while the tailwater is low right now, we're working on a temporary cover and then do a permanent fix.
The flume isn't running right now.
So you're not going to want turbines running when you're on that side, which is good for next year. Yep. You'll have 4 units off.
That's right.
So it's good timing for that.
Which units will be out?
18, 17, 16, 15.
North half. Having those 4 out really makes them really nice. And that actually has.
Well, you won't be working on it next year. They're doing the transformer right now for the other one. That's why those 4 units are out. So they're going to flip over next year and do 10 weeks.
September.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Synergy.
That was a project.
Dow's AWS.
Dow's AWS. The Corps made an award to Kiewit Construction for $22.6
million.
One of the unsuccessful offers, though, is filed with Government Accountability Office protest.
How long is that going to take to work through?
Well,
that's with the GAO. That's
well,
not.
Unfortunately, we have to suspend work, you know, with Kiewit pending resolution of the protest. And realistically, this in water work period is probably not going to be there. So we might be looking at the following 2
killing.
Well, you can't retire. If you recall, you know, we were on a very compressed schedule.
Okay, projects canceled. This has to be in. This has to be in. You can't retire until this is done.
Done. Sorry, you're stuck with it.
November.
Technically, November it was 17th. Awarded. So.
There's got to be. They got to have a hole in the dam.
2 more months.
So.
What's that?
There's a lot of unknowns right now, but as more comes in, we'll be updating.
Well, I'm assuming you're going to have like an initial hearing. Is that scheduled on the grievances?
I don't know what the specifics are.
You just keep your head down and get out of the way.
I can get that info.
I really don't care.
Other people if you're not going to make that.
I mean, if you said you're not going to make the time frame, then it's mute anyways. Yeah, if you're not going to get this in water work.
My big concern was with this in water work.
Awesome.
Yeah. More things change, and less things
stay. just we get older.
We just get older
and get grumpier.
Much more.
Sorry.
Your time's coming.
Yeah.
All I gotta do is wait.
It's the curse. Curse the parents.
Well, I think we covered all the other things.
I did have one add. It's also one of Rare, such as wonderful projects. The B2 Fish Unit Trash Rack.
We talked about it at the beginning.
Did we?
Yeah.
You said Tom was really happy.
Is it in? Have you got a videotape? Does it work? What's the word?
How many times have we run the float of the unit?
Two. Floated twice so far this year.
As far as that
works, that's about it.
It works. Does it work well? Does it work better? Because it worked before, too, but not very well, so...
They're using it, right?
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Land and float trash twice.
And that was because of weekend
that's
accumulation.
The key.
Yeah. Right.
That's how you judge success.
Grass season's coming, though.
Oh, I know. Yeah, because we had pretty low debris years, so this was not the best year.
Are we in it now? I mean, usually it starts coming out in August. So, I know you guys are at a more frequent sweep cycle.
Yeah.
1 hour. Haven't had a problem yet.
I know.
That's good.
Someone mentioned you were supposed to have a video and see how it works. Have the set video.
A video?
Yeah, they're going to put they're talking about the ROV.
We had talked about ROV.
I'm old, but I still have my memory.
But yeah, the project's
for now.
Fast.
More bourbon, and that's just going
to... Waiting for the chili to kick in.
Yeah. I'm with that taste of aspartame. Like, oh, that's really good, Brad. Really, really...
With
hemlock?
What?
A little hemlock in your chili. All right. Well, we'll just keep monitoring it. Hope it works. You guys keep using them.
Yeah, that's good.
That was the best thing this whole meeting was that chili.
Wow, you've got low expectations.
Perfect judgment. One of the two.
Yeah. Or both. Combination thereof.
Well, thank you, folks.
Well, thank you.
Next meeting, again, is the 3rd of December.
And we're back here at 1 o'clock for SPBG.
Sweet! Right?
That's what I wanted to do. All the meetings.
Thank you for hosting, Tom. This is a lot easier than trying to have something.
As long as you say so. Yeah, oh, I know. Those full body searches are getting a little friendly.
The searches, the reserving the space is very difficult.
Well, we're getting to a point too when
we have to go through a third party to reserve the space.
And we have to pay them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Whoa. How could. I gotta start charging them. Damn it.
That's why Brad brought
chili.
Come on.
I didn't say I'm cheap. I mean, malted beverage comes in. We cover almost all things.
Does it come up? Unarranged. I remember when I worked at Nolan, we were working on ice farm. We were all going to go down.
$900.